Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired in the Premier Networks on Sunday, October 18th, 2015. This is episode 1230. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Ting.com. Ting is a mobile phone service that helps you save money by offering you a fair price for just the services you use. Visit thetechguy.ting.com to get $25 towards your first device or service and to find out how much you can save. Ting! And by Epson's new EcoTank printers. With Epson's line of SuperTank all-in-one printers, you can print thousands of documents without running out of ink. EcoTank is loaded and ready to print when you are. Visit Epson.com/EcoTank to find out more. And by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's kind of like caller ID for your home. Right now, get free FedEx shipping when you go to Ring.com/TechGuy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk about computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, and all that jazz. 8888-ASK-LEO, the phone number. Call that number if you want to talk high tech, ask a question, get a buying recommendation, maybe a little hand-holding on the information superhighway. 888-827-5536. Kim Schaffer's here to answer your call. She will help you, and she will groom you and prepare you for your appearance on national radio. Wait a minute, this is national radio? You didn't tell me that. You can talk about... here's an interesting blog post. Thank you for the chat to the chat room for passing this along to me. I appreciate it. Treat IW. The blog post comes from a programmer and attorney named Rob Schechter. He decided, crazy guy though he might be, to read the entire El Capitan license agreement and then translate it into English. He writes, I decided to upgrade my Mac to the new OS 10.10.11 El Capitan, but my computer said, on one condition, I must carefully read and agree with something. It even provided a tiny, cozy display window for viewing it. And so I did what anyone else would. I cleared my afternoon schedule and got right down to business, reading carefully the entire document. It turns out I was much too pessimistic. I only needed 33 minutes. I should note I am an attorney with good understanding of license, trademark, and copyright law. I'm also a software developer with 20 years' experience. So your own read-through may take a little more or less time accordingly. He says, I thought it would be a fun project to see what the El Capitan license actually says. Cool idea, huh? Kind of like spelunking through a cave that everyone says they've been through, but maybe no one really has. So do you know, are you a user of Mac OS X? By the way, the Windows license will be somewhat similar. One, it says, I cannot use El Capitan, he calls it the Captain. Well, it is a translation, isn't it? With illegal copies of anyone's stuff. Apple did not sell me this software. This is something people don't realize, but this is the case with most software. Apple still owns it. In fact, I am just borrowing it. If I install more Apple software, these are on loan as well. I can use the Captain in two different virtual machines and on one computer, which is ironic and probably silly since you could download it yourself on every computer and get a new license agreement. So I'm not sure exactly what the point of that is. The virtual machines, I guess. But these VMs cannot be used for business. the license agreement says. The only exception is for software developers. And Rob says, I guess they probably wouldn't follow these rules anyway. Number six, I must read the separate rules that came with the fonts and obey them. I can only borrow those two. You do not own these fonts. You only license them. The cool voices for the clock, no remixing. Can't do a rap song with the voices for the clock. Don't worry, Apple. I don't think anybody wants to. But you never know. Number seven, or number eight, slideshows made with photos. The same deal. Don't even think about using them for some commercial purpose. Oh, I didn't know that. Number nine, I cannot sell access to my Mac via any kind of screen sharing. Number 10, I must run the Captain on Apple hardware. That's because people put them on PCs. Shocking. That would be wrong. 11, I can't even help anyone else do that. 12, I can make one copy as a backup. Which is weird, because again, you can download it on any machine. 13, I can't try to figure out the source code to any of this. 14, I have to follow all local laws while I'm using it. All local laws, whatever, however silly they may be. I can leave the software on the Mac if I sell it or give it away, but I better not use anyone's hacked version. Apple is not responsible for my hurt feelings or anything I see on the web. If I break any of these rules, this deal is over and I must immediately delete everything. The Captain comes as is. I cannot send it to Sudan. I kid you not. Sudan is specifically exempted. I cannot operate a nuclear power plant with it. I should hope you wouldn't want to. I cannot. Don't even think about it. Just plain can't make money from videos I create using MPEG, H.264, or AVC. For that, I need to buy another something from somebody. There you are, he writes. I took one for the team. Well, that doesn't seem too onerous, except for that last part, which worries me a little bit, because we don't use Macs to edit our videos, but I think many do. Seems like Apple doesn't want you to make any money from those. You know, I'm not really singling Apple out, because I think all these companies, I wish somebody would do the same thing for Windows. I'm sure it's just as stupid and bad. The problem is the lawyers, isn't it? I'm nothing against lawyers. But let's face it, if it weren't for lawyers, we wouldn't have litigation. If it weren't for litigation, we wouldn't have to worry about things like labels on hair dryers that say, do not take this in the bathtub. Or those little packets that come in your camera to keep them dry, do not eat these. Because after all, it's not that people eat them or take them in the bathtub. It's that if they do, the lawyers will descend. It's interesting. Well, fortunately, we give away our videos, so I don't have to worry, right? How's your email these days? Do you like email? Does anybody like email? What is going on with email? Email is annoying, isn't it? And yet, we don't have really anything better. Or is messaging better? I noticed that the kids these days, anybody under 25, doesn't really use email that much. They use, my own kids, I use an example, 23 and 21. They use a messenger to communicate. They don't use the phone even, really. I listen to my son on phone calls with his friends, and they're basically a few grunts, and then it's over, and the rest happens in messaging. It's really messaging that keeps the world connected. And yet we don't really have a good replacement for email. Email is going the way of the fax machine. Is that just me? Maybe because I get a lot of email, and I find I just can't keep up with it. Do you have that problem? Because I know this may be a unique problem to me, because almost always when I install an email program on a smartphone or a tablet, the default is notify you every time you get a message. And I think that must be for very lonely people, because if I got notified every time I got a message, my phone would just go beep, 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 beep all the time. Right?
And die fast.
You don't leave. You don't. Isn't it the first thing you do is turn off notifications and email messaging? You don't. Or maybe I'm just unusual. Maybe if you really have a slow life, there's not much going on, and if there is, and I apologize, you really want to know when you get that Viagra email. Oh, man, I got an email. Hold on. I'll talk to you in a moment, but I hear that I have an email. I must go read it now. Beef in our chat room says, I only get one or two emails a day. You need to sign up for some stuff, dude. You need to buy something online. You'll get plenty of emails. I looked at a website once, and I can't get off their newsletter. Looked at it. 8888-ASK-LEO. I'm here to help. That's my job. I'm Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Give me a ring. Let's talk high tech. 888-827-5536. Leo Laporte, those... the tech guy. I shouldn't... I'm talking and I'm looking at the chat room and I noticed, and I almost said it out loud, somebody wrote, those darn penguins are staring at me. I have penguins over my shoulder. That's... So I almost said, Leo Laporte, those darn penguins are staring at me. But that would have been very strange. Somebody said I woke up on the wrong side of the couch today. I think maybe I did. I don't know. Cranky. But good news.
Yeah, what are you doing on the couch?
No, I didn't sleep on the couch. It was in the doghouse. Good news. Kim Schaffer is here to brighten my day. Hello, Kim.
Good morning.
You're answering the phones.
I am.
You're talking to the people. And the people want to talk to me?
Yeah, and Rob in Encino wants to talk about a device I haven't heard anything about in several years.
Ah, let's find out. Thank you, Kim. Hello, Rob Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. So, yeah, that didn't make me feel old. Haven't heard of a TiVo in several years.
TiVo! I have a TiVo!
Yeah, I keep hearing you talking about it, raving about it. I've
love
got
my
TiVo Romeo.
Yeah.
And I upgraded from my Time Warner cable box mainly because I hate Time Warner's interface.
You know what? This is what happened to TiVo and its ilk, is that the cable company started putting out DVRs, and it was just so much easier if you're on cable or even if you're on Dish or DirecTV to use their DVRs, that people just stop buying TiVos, and it's really become, I think, a small niche market. But I agree with you. It's so much better. Me too. It's so much better. TiVo software is always better than the DVRs provided by the cable companies. The little thumbs up, thumbs down thing. So and the TiVo suggestions, it records all the time.
And the cute little peanut remote.
The peanut-shaped remote. It's gotten bigger over the years, but yes, I love the TiVo.
Yeah, I keep meaning to order one of those slider remotes with the keyboard on it.
But, ooh. So the thing about the TiVo, and in order to use it with your cable company, you have to get them to give you a cable card that turns the TiVo into a set-top box. And cable companies, even though they're legally required to offer these, they keep them in the back room. And they don't tell.
Well, I was getting problems where I would just get de-offed off the cable network.
Yeah.
For a while, knock on wood, I've been. Yeah. You know, the past few months, I haven't had that issue.
Time Warner probably got spanked because this.
Yep.
They don't want to do this. They want you to rent their cable box. They want you to use their DVR. They could show you ads. They would much prefer that you use theirs. So
well,
Yeah, I know. They've started putting ads in there too.
Yeah.
Kind of
so one of the other reasons I upgraded the TiVo was, I haven't used this feature, but it was nice to know it was there. The ability to retrieve shows, at least unprotected shows, and back them up onto another drive.
They call it TiVo to go.
Yeah, and I guess they have their TiVo desktop software, but I can't find it anymore.
Yeah.
called their support, and they told me that the TiVo Online, that useless thing that lets you stream to a web browser, that sort of replaced it.
Yeah, no, it didn't. It's terrible. So, you got to think one of the reasons that TiVo is not successful or is not as successful as they ought to be. You know, the one of their competitors, Replay TV, was put out of business by the content creators because they had a 30-second skip. Networks didn't like that. So TiVo, I think TiVo to go, people, you know, movie and TV companies and networks are all very concerned about piracy, and they just figure that's just a road to piracy. So the TiVo desktop gone. However, Mike B., who is my TiVo guru in the chat room, and, you know, he keeps telling me to try this, and I haven't tried it yet, but he says KMTTG. That's easy to remember because it's like the tech guy. KMTTG is an open source solution that's kind of a replacement for TiVo to go. It's written on Java, and it kind of, TTG is TiVo to go. So KMTTG means KM's TiVo to go. And actually, he's moved it to Google Hosting. Oh, no, wait a minute. He's not moved it to Google Hosting. He's moved to SourceForge. My advertising blocker blocks SourceForge because SourceForge has been up to shenanigans with putting, not malware, but kind of adware on people's machines. So, you know, be careful when you download something from SourceForge these days. But KM's TiVo to go is apparently the go-to replacement for the TiVo to go. And you can blame Hollywood for it. Sad to say. I think they're really just afraid of piracy so much so that they don't really even want you to take it off the TiVo. I wrote a book many years ago. A guide to TiVo that was essentially just a long book on how to hack your TiVo. You had to have a Series 1. It was the original TiVo. So that you could do digital copies of your data. Because there it is on the hard drive. You got a hard drive. You're recording shows. People want to save it. The hard drive fills up. You don't want to delete shows. Maybe you want to save that. Maybe you've got the complete Andy Griffith on that hard drive. And you want to save it. So I wrote a whole book on how to get all that stuff off onto a DVD or onto your computer. It goes way back. Then they came out with a Series 2, which broke it because it encrypted everything, and they continue that way. So, yeah, I think they, unfortunately, and it's not TiVo's fault, but TiVo's trying to stay in business. You got to consider antipathy. How's that for a good word? Antipathy from the content creators is the real problem there. They don't like it. Ben in Memphis, Tennessee, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Leo. I've heard you talking a couple of times about using Flickr for backing up photos.
Yeah.
I got a couple of questions. One, when I have done mass uploads, like I'll take a whole folder and drag them over to the browser.
Yeah.
And it'll upload, and you know, it might take an hour or two to do the upload.
Yeah.
When it finishes, it comes back with a message that says, you know, uploading 1,000 photos, 987 successful.
And then some could just never made it, eh?
Some are never made it, and you don't know which ones they are.
I know. That's frustrating.
So what I was wondering is if there's a tool, some kind of batch tool or a different process I could use that would either enumerate the ones that failed or give me a comparison.
Yeah, that's not really very helpful. It says we got everything but 13 photos out of those 1,000. What were they?
Yeah.
Well, you might Flickr has its own uploader, which might be more communicative as opposed to the, just doing it by dragging it to the website. You can download and install the uploader. I would guess that'd do better. It's Macintosh, Windows 7, 8, and 10.
Okay.
The other thing I would mention is that there are other sites that do this. If you're an Amazon Prime member, unlimited backup there. Flickr gives you a terabyte for free. Google gives you unlimited upload storage for free as well. But they reduce the quality of the image slightly. There are lots of things, and I use all of them. That's the easiest way to do it. So I have the Google uploader, the Flickr uploader. I use OneDrive because you get unlimited storage there as well if you are a Office 365 subscriber. Seems like cloud storage, the price, the official price now is zero. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Get the Flickr uploader. It uploads your photos to Flickr. Hey, I'm so excited to get our sponsor Ting back on the air here. I've been a big Ting fan. I know a lot of you have converted to Ting from hearing about it on the Tech Guy show. If you go to the Tech Guy, thetechguy.ting.com, you could take a look at what Ting is. It's technically an MVNO. They're a mobile virtual network outlet. They resell Sprint and T-Mobile, two of the biggest nationwide LTE networks, to give you a very, very nice deal on cell service without contracts, without overage fees, with unlimited plans. They're the first mobile service provider to allow you to have devices on different networks under the same account. So you can take your bring your own device. In fact, if you go to Ting, you'll see there's an easy device. It'll figure out, which carrier your device. You just enter the IMEI number. It'll tell you which carrier your device will work on Ting. But you don't have to worry about it because you have one account and the whole thing works with an average monthly bill of, get ready for this, $23 per device. I save so much money on Ting. And there are never overage charges or penalties. You just pay for what you use every month. The Ting dashboard is awesome, too. If you're in a contract, Ting will give you credit. They'll pay, if you have to pay an ETF, an early termination fee to come to Ting, they'll credit you 25% of your ETF, up to $75 per device. 80% of the phones out there, including 80% of the phones you own, maybe all of the phones you own, can come to Ting. But all you have to do is go to ting.com/BYOD to see if your device can make the move. Bring your own device. I am really a fan of Ting. I put my OnePlus 2 on Ting. I have, so many phones that work so well with Ting. And because it's now both Sprint and T-Mobile, you really don't have to worry. Your phone's going to work great with CDMA or GSM. Save money and manage your cell usage better with Ting. And if you're a viewer of the Tech Guy show, save $25 off select devices or mobile phone service just for getting started. TheTechGuy.ting.com. I had the phone, so I just had them send me a SIM, popped the SIM in there, went through the easy activate process, and boom! Boom, I'm a Ting user. Try the savings calculator. You'll get some idea of why Ting is the thing. TheTechGuy.ting.com to find out more. Ben is on in the chat room. I'm sorry, Ben, I ran out of time, but he also wanted to know the difference between albums and collections on Flickr. I don't know on Flickr specifically. Let me look at my Flickr. They keep changing. Now they have this. They have the camera roll, which is a new thing. I don't even see albums anymore. Oh, there's albums. So albums, you create an album and then you move things into your albums. Collections, I don't know what that is. I don't see that on mine. In on Lightroom, for instance, you can have both albums and collections. And collections are typically smart collections. They're created with a smart tool that says, I want all my pictures from this date and to this date, that kind of thing. I have to say, I think Google Photos is probably better. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Let's go back to the phones. And Lewis in Ontario, Canada. Hi, Lewis.
Hey, Leo. So I got three things to say. First, my question, and then the two comments. First of all, I have over 2 years' worth of PDF news articles I've printed out and podcasts. I want a way that I can easily search through all of them. I already have little tags on them, but I can't find a good software.
Okay. So when you say print it out, you mean print it out to disk as a PDF?
To PDF, yeah.
Yeah.
Print it out as PDFs.
Yeah. And so PDFs can be a little tricky because there's two different ways they can be stored. They can be stored as merely images of a page. That's not going to be very useful for search.
It has highlightable text.
If it has highlightable text, that means it can be the text within can be searched if something's smart enough. And what was the other type of data?
It has a key. Oh, yeah, and podcasts, which I put keywords or in the ID3 tags, I put copies of the transcript.
Yeah, podcasts have the same exact issue, of course, which is, to my everlasting sadness, they're not very searchable. They're just they're audio. And so you are smart. You have keywords, which will help you search, of course. You can only find stuff, in other words, that's text.
Yeah.
We had briefly, there was a company that was making a podcast search tool that searched into the audio. It did not work well. and they're gone. They're gone. So you have a couple of choices. Dr. Mom's reminding me that if it's PDFs, you can upload them to Google Drive, and Google has its own search, and given that they're the search engine, a pretty darn good one that will search across PDFs, because Google will read PDFs. Podcast tags, though, that's a little different. What you really, it sounds like, want to do is keep it on your local hard drive and have something really good search into it.
Yeah, because, example, I have every episode of Security Now since 2013 onward.
Wow.
And I made sure whenever I download it, I also download those transcripts and I put it into the comment section of the ID3 tag.
On Windows or Mac?
Windows.
Are you willing to pay for this thing?
It depends on how much. I'm a student, so I can't do much.
Well, I'll tell you the best search engine I ever used, and it's still around. It's called X1. It's X1.com, and I kind of had hoped that they would do better. When I first found this, I thought, this is amazing. It is a search that replaces the Windows search, because Windows does have search. It will search into email. It will search into text files. It will search into PDFs. It will search into anything that has text in it. And it is super, super fast. In fact, it starts finding the minute you type one key. It finds everything that matches that one key. Second key, then it finds everything with the second key. Obviously, in order to do that, it has to be indexing in the background. You know, I mean,
I'll look that up.
Yeah, Windows has its own search. It's $50, though.
I'll look
into it. Yeah, I mean, this is the fastest thing I know of that's pretty awesome. Google is free. So that's that makes it a little bit easier. But you have to upload all the PDFs. And I don't know what it would do with the – I guess if you uploaded the transcripts – it's an interesting question. Does the chat room have any suggestions for – I love X1. And it was Bill Gross's Idea Lab came up with this, and it was such a clever idea. Rapid, rapid search. Very powerful. But, you know, I think it just didn't kind of take off because Windows and Mac, you know, Mac has Spotlight. Windows has its own built-in search. Was good enough for most people. And so most people just didn't want to pay for something extra. But if you have a lot of data and you really want to be able to search it fast, this is a really great solution. Otherwise, just use Windows' own search. And again, as long as it's text, you'll be able to find it. Somebody's reminding me that Total Commander will also do this. Total Commander was this great shareware program that was a replacement. We mentioned it before on the show, recently, in fact, that was a replacement for Norton Commander. Remember the old Norton Commander? And it will also, it has an enhanced search function. And this is shareware, so you could try it for free. Total Commander comes from gheisler.com. I guess that's the guy's name. gheisler.com. And there are a lot of people love this program. A lot of people love Norton Commander, which was at its ascendancy about 20 years ago. it's been a while, I think. Then, of course, Marsworm, clever fellow, is giving me a link to a great site called Alternative 2. It's alternative2.net. This is kind of an overarching tip. You can search for an alternative to any program, you know, alternatives to Photoshop, in this case, alternatives to X1, and alternative2.net has some similar tools. I can guarantee you, having used X1 for a long time, they're nothing is as fast as X1, but of course, nothing's as expensive as X1 either. So there's Search Monkey. Kopernik. Remember Kopernik? That's still around, I guess. Index your files. File searchy. Lokine desktop search, locate 32, doc fetcher, agent ransack. These are all, I think, leftovers from a much more vital time in Windows software. Remember, you'd go to a user group. Well, you may not remember this. I remember going to a user group, and the disk librarian, the shareware librarian, would be at the front of the room, and he'd have a table full of floppy disks with all kinds of shareware. Did they do that in Finland? Probably not. All kinds of shareware. And you'd go and you'd say, I need a copy of Launchy. And you could check it out like the library. And you'd take it home and you'd copy it over. And who knows what else you'd get on that disk. X-Tree Gold. Remember that? X-Tree was awesome. And, of course, you can always use Google. And Dr. Mom's saying, if you're searching the transcripts on Security Now, just use Google with the site :grc.com and it'll search Steve's site. And he'll find all the text in the transcripts. There was a day, there was a time when there were hundreds of different shareware programs. You could try them free, and then you'd pay $10, and you'd own them, and you could junk up your hard drive with software written with kind of hugely varying quality. Some of it would be amazing, and then some of it would be wretched. But it was all out there. Those were the days, my friends. There was a program I remember very well called List, I think it was, or Lister, by a guy named Vernon Berg, who was a great shareware program. All it really did was it would take a text file and scroll it up off on the screen. It was a very simple program. Probably wrote it in Visual Basic. Vernon was a local resident here. I remember he had a little computer shop up the lane a bit. I go and say hi to him. How's the Lister doing? How's it doing? 8888 Ask Leo. Little trip down memory lane. I think it's because I'm wearing a bow tie. I now understand why I'm cranky today, why I'm curmudgeonly, why I'm poo-pooing email, why I'm talking about shareware. It's like Jim Carrey in The Mask. Once I put this bow tie on, I'm another person. 888-827-5536 if you want advice about the good old days or maybe a little information about what's going on today. I can do it for you. Let's talk. Website, by the way, we put everything there, including links to all the things I just talked about, is techguylabs.com. Techguylabs.com. And I'm Leo Laporte. I'm the tech guy. More to come right after this. Load Runner. I remember that. You like my mustache? Thinking of growing one just like this.
You've got a good look going on today. Quite.
I look like Wilford Brimley or something. I don't know what.
Are you about to sell some grape some oats?
Wow. Everything by voidtools.com. Somebody's been messing with my penguin clock. Yes, list.com. The old DOS utility. Vernon Berg. He used to own a computer store in Petaluma. Is list.com still around? Probably not. Wonder if Vernon's still around. He owned the store make like 20 years ago. But even then, it was like old time. Now there's replacements for Vernon Berg's list.com. Oh, he passed. December 2009. Yep. He was a sysop on the ham radio SIG on CompuServe. His CIS user ID was 70007,1212. I was 75106,3135. Yep. List.com was written in BASIC. There you go. Oh, maybe not. Is the program that Microsoft forgot? No, it was written in Assembler. It was small, fast, and one of the must-have programs of its time. Yeah, I remember writing an ARC. Remember ARC? Before there was ZIP, there was ARC. I wrote an ARC for Mac. He moved to Petaluma. Those were the days. How old am I? Old and dirt, solid pixel.
Younger every year.
Younger next year.
I
don't know about this year. Feeling older this year. I'm playing with the Squarespace. I'm liking the Squarespace. I really like the... I have to go to leoville.com. I really like the cover page thing. I have to make my blog look prettier, though. Cover page is nice. It's a nice cover page. But I need my blog to be prettier. Blog is kind of plain Jane. You know what's cool, though? If you click the like button, look at you get little hearts. Aw. I like that. Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you, Squarespace. Do-do-do-do-do. Yes, I'm 58. I'll be 59 next month. I'm an old man. An old man. PK Arc, yeah, I remember that. PK Zip. You know, the funny thing about Lucene, Solr and Apache Solr is awesome. Funny thing about Lucene is Doug Cutting, the guy who wrote it, I bought his house in Petaluma. Don't live there anymore. We sold it since, but lived there for about 7 years. I remember going upstairs, and I was wearing a Linux shirt, a tux shirt. He liked me for that. I think he sold his house because I was wearing a tux shirt. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, Ask Leo. Robbie is calling from Scotland. Hello, Robbie.
Hi.
Good to talk to you. What can I do for you? Uh-oh, the Skype's kind of breaking up here. Kind of coming in and out. Oh man, I'm gonna tell you what, Robbie. I do want to talk to you. Let me put you on hold and we'll see if we can get the Skype working. If you call, our number is toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-827-5536. But if you're outside of U.S. and Canada, it would be a long distance call unless you use Skype. If you Skype out, then it's I guess Skype out to toll free calls to toll free numbers in the U.S. are free. So but Robbie, we got to get that Skype working. Kim, can you help Robbie? Robbie's breaking up. Maybe you can work with him. I don't know. Lend him a cup of bandwidth. Eric in Hollywood, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi. Thanks, Leo. Hey, I'm sorry if I'm going to try your patience with this rudimentary call, but I've got a first-generation iPad that my brother gave me, and it won't charge. That the little heartbeat, the little logo, yeah. The little Apple pops up every 30 seconds, but it won't charge. I presume
he gave you the Apple charger too, because it needs a special,
right?
10-watt charger.
Right. Yes. He did. And
it's a big one. It's not a little one. It's about the size of a bar of soap instead of about the size of a sugar cube.
Well, it's not a sugar cube, but it isn't a bar of soap sized 10-watt charger. Then it's half that size.
All right, so that may be the issue. The iPad doesn't require an Apple brand charger, but it does require 10 watts. In other words, a USB charger that is 5 volts and 2 amps. In fact, because all USB chargers are 5 volts, we usually talk about the capacity of the charger by the number of amps it has. And the Apple charger is either 2 or 2.2 amps. So that's the first thing to do. See if you can find a high wattage charger. It can be bigger than 10, but it has to be at least 10, maybe even at least 11. So the iPhone charger is maybe a little bigger than a quarter, and the iPad charger is kind of a biggish square. Now, having said that, that is a 5-year-old device. It came out in the spring of 2010. And one of the things about lithium-ion batteries, they will charge a certain number of times, and then they just stop. It barely even degrades. It just at some point, it just stops holding a charge at all. And given the age of that iPad 1, it probably is that age. Now, You have two choices. In theory, there are no user serviceable parts, and if you take a look at it, you can see why. There's no screws or anything. It's pretty hard to take apart an iPad. It can be done, however. Most of the time, people just take it to the Apple store or send it back to Apple. And Apple, I think it's $90, $100, will put a new battery in it. You can also go to a site called iFixit, iFixit.com. And they have instructions. And they even sell, I believe, replacement batteries for the iPad 1. They'll even have a video. But it involves, you'll see. The iPad has never been an easy thing to get into. You got to pry it apart. You got to warm it up to melt the glue that's holding. It's glued together. It's not intended for you to service it. You need a putty knife. It's just a mess. However, it may be that at this point, if you'd like to use the iPad 1 again and you don't mind the risk that you might break it, it'd certainly be a lot cheaper to buy it. Go to iFixit. Watch the video. See if you feel up to it. Otherwise, and what's normally the case is you're supposed to send it to Apple and they're supposed to replace the battery. This is actually one of the real knocks, in my opinion, on consumer electronics these days. In order to make them thin and small, they've made it so that the battery can't be removed. And almost all smartphones nowadays, including, sadly, the Samsung phones, which used to have removable batteries, almost all smartphones now do not have removable batteries. You are either supposed to throw it out. I think that's what they really want you to do, which is heinous, given that these things cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Or if you send it back to the factory and then they can take it apart and put a new battery in. It's a shame. One of the reasons they do that is because they don't have to put any packaging around the battery. You're not supposed to see it. You're not supposed to touch it. So they can just put a kind of a bare bones lithium ion cell in there and then say, look, no user serviceable parts inside. You want to fix it? We have to fix it. I feel terrible. We're just creating more stuff for the landfill. And on a computer like the iPad, now admittedly, 5 years down the road, the new iPads are much faster. And unfortunately, Apple no longer lets you update the operating system. You can't put the latest version on the new on the old iPad. And that means a lot of software, which relies on features built into the new operating system, won't work. So, this is built in. This is planned obsolescence. They want it to be obsolete. They want you. And in fact, it's a problem. People aren't buying new iPads. They work too darn well. So, 5-year-old iPad should really just be fine. I hate to see it thrown out, but I'm afraid that's kind of how it happens. So, first thing to do is get a new charger and cable. You can, go online. As long as you're getting an 11-watt charger, there's plenty on Amazon. They're not expensive. Get them from Anker if you want to kind of have some confidence in its abilities, anker.com. You'll need to get the 30-pin cable. Only Apple makes those. I guess other companies now make them that's specific to that. And I would get it. Be honest, safest bet, get the cable at least from Apple. Charger doesn't matter, but the cable should be from Apple. If it still doesn't charge, then it's either at the Apple store or iFixit. We're going to take a break. When we come back, is Robbie good to go, you think? Have you messed with his Skype? Have you blown out the tubes there and try to clean out the dust out of there? Maybe we'll see if we can get Robbie on. I think a guy from Scotland named Robbie, we got to talk to him, right? All right, let's see. Robbie, let's see how it's working now. Did you bang the Skype?
Yeah, I just hit it with a hammer.
Ah, much better.
Good.
What can I do for you?
I love the way Americans say my name.
Robbie. How do you pronounce it?
Yeah. Robbie.
I'll pronounce it Robbie.
You're doing a Scottish accent all the time.
If you do it wrong, it's rubbish.
That's not very good, I'm sorry.
I have a terrible Scottish accent. I learned it from Robin Williams, and he taught me badly. So what can I do for you, laddie?
I've got three things, a couple of questions, okay. And a comment.
Yes, sir.
So last patch Tuesday's cumulative update keeps failing to install. It downloads and then prepares the install, and then it prompts me to restart.
Windows 8 or 10?
It's 10.
10. Yeah, I mean, this happens on all versions of Windows. If you think about it, these in-place updates are always a little bit risky. Probably what happened is it got a partial download or a messed up download. There's a troubleshooter on Microsoft's site, support.microsoft.com, that will help you delete the old one and try it again.
See, I've tried doing it for a clean boot. I've tried the update.
Clean the registry?
I've tried resetting the Windows Update component. I've tried downloading it manually and installing it, and it's still not working.
I wonder if it's which is it? Is it the big update? Or no, you said it was patch no, Tuesday update.
All the other ones are fine. Like the updates for Office and things were fine. It's just the cumulative update for Windows.
By the way, congratulations.
What for?
On the Rugby World Cup. Oh, no, that was an evil laugh. All the Australians are shaking their fists at you, Robbie. Hang on, we'll see if we can solve your problem. A wee little problem right after this. Our Tech Guy show brought to you today and always by my printer. I love this Epson EcoTank printer. This is such a good idea. Epson, of course, makes the best printers, period. I've been a big fan of the Precision Core printers they came out with earlier this year. These are the printers based on an industrial technology called Precision Core that is just mind-boggling. High speed, I mean, I think it's, 4 million dots per second, something like that. Vivid colors, really beautiful laser quality black text, plus things that most laser printers won't do, like two-sided printing, a 30-page auto document feeder. You could print to a wide variety of media. It's energy efficient. There's no warm-up time and on and on and on. But now when you add the EcoTank to this, man, it just blows my mind. Epson has really taken over, I think, the market by doing the one thing consumers really wanted, reducing the cost of printing and giving you enough ink to last for 2 years. The new EcoTank printers come with the ink in the box. Look at the ET4550, for instance, a Precision Core printer, excellent multifunction printer for home or office. Doesn't use ink cartridges. Instead, it's got an innovative refillable ink tank. That's right there on the right. That comes in the box with 11,000 pages worth of ink. If you're doing color pages, 8,500. That's about 2 years, about 50 ink cartridge sets worth. It's awesome. EcoTank. And by the way, when you do finally want to replace the ink, it's very economical. So you'll go 2 years without running out of ink. The ink replacement costs are ultra low cost. I think they've just said, you know what? This is our customers deserve it. We're going to do it. The new EcoTank printers. You can find out more at Epson, EPSON.com/EcoTank. They have them for home and photo printer too. For home, for business printing, for the big office. You want to do a heavy-duty, high-volume business printing? The WFR4640 does, get this, it has enough ink for 20,000 pages. What? They were telling me they had an event. They brought the synchronized swimming team, the U.S. synchronized swimming team, to Times Square, and they were printing pictures of people with the team, and they had one of these great printers. He said, we printed all day, every second. We were printing constantly. And you could see the tank. It went down like a millimeter. It's so fun. I love it. Epson.com/EcoTank. Synchronized swimming team not included. I don't know. He's done all the things. He's done all the things that I would say to do. Australia versus Scotland. By 1 point, Robbie, by 1 point.
I'm not that into rugby or football. I actually like the American ice hockey.
ice hockey's a great game. If you like fights.
I like the Boston Bruins.
Oh, you're a Bruins fan.
Yeah.
Oh, you got good taste, Robbie. Robbie, 35-34. I hope I'm not spoiling anything for you, but...
No, I don't like rugby.
Oh, good. Who cares then?
I wish I was in America because all these things are late at night in Scotland.
The Rugby World Cup is late at night? Oh, you mean the Bruins games?
Yeah.
Hockey's a great sport. Well, you know what, Robbie? You got to come to the U.S.
I know.
Come visit us. You know, I'm a Dunlap. My middle name is Gordon. I'm named after my grandfather, Gordon Dunlap.
Dunlop?
Dunlap. It was a lap, not a lop. I don't know why it's an A, but it's a river, right? The Dunlop River?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of places called Dunlop.
Yep. Well, I'm one of them. So you did all the right things. You you followed the steps, which is to clear the registry, to undo the reset the Windows update. The individual download is often a good idea. You know, instead of the network download, get the actual file and run it. And each time, it blue screens or it just reboots and nothing happens?
It just reboots and then says it comes up with a notification that it failed.
There's no error. Which one is it?
It's the one for last Tuesday. All the ones before that worked fine.
And when you did the Windows 10, was it an upgrade to Windows 7 or 8?
It was an upgrade from Windows 8.1.
8.1. And did Microsoft say it was okay to update?
Yeah.
Yeah. You waited until you got the invite.
Yeah. Exclusive to me.
Just for you, Robbie. Robbie, we know you want it. We know you want Windows 10. And you said, yes, I do. Oh, it's so frustrating.
Will it have to be probably a Windows reset?
Yeah, you might have to. I know you did all of the things that I would recommend. Download it standalone. Do the reset the Windows update tool. You obviously know what you're doing. And did you run there's a Windows troubleshooter on Microsoft's site that I think has a little registry, you know, one of those fix-it patches that might delete registry keys associated with that broken update.
All right.
If you've done all of that, yep, time to reset. I'll tell you what, I think Windows 10 is a little buggy. My Windows 10 machine keeps blue screening out. The good news is, you know, Windows 10's pretty good about fixing these things. So it just says, hey, it puts a little smiley face. We just crashed horribly. But if you reboot, it'll probably be okay, and that usually is. So I don't know what's going on.
I'm just waiting for Threshold 2.
I think Threshold 2 will change. We'll fix a lot of... I'm praying. That's next month. Chat room's giving us some suggestions. It says in Task Manager, Den says, turn off all non-Microsoft services and then try the update. Maybe something like a security program is blocking it. Sometimes that happens.
I've uninstalled my antivirus and everything.
Yeah, good man. That stuff's terrible. Nobody has a great fix.
I'll just try and reset it.
Yeah, I would try that and see if you can get the... You did the GHacks Windows update reset program. I take it.
No, I've not.
All right, GHacks.net, GHACKS.net. They have a reset Windows update agent.
Yeah, I see it.
Try it.
Try that, and then turn off
non Microsoft services. Sometimes doing it in safe mode. Rerunning the update in safe mode, sometimes that works better.
I was going to try that, but the Windows chat people, the support people said you can't do it in safe mode. And I thought, well, I think you can.
You can't do it in safe mode? Well, I don't know about that. I bet he sounded more like, you cannot do it in safe mode. But anyway, I hope that... I'm really bad at accents, but I love doing them. It's great to talk to you, Robbie.
I've got the other thing was I had to install Flash to get a live stream for the website. Obviously,
I apologize.
Install it straight after.
I apologize, but the reason is we use Ustream, Bitgravity, Twitch.tv. They all provide Flash streams. Yeah. Ustream does provide an HTML stream. The problem is, and we use that, by the way, on iOS. If you try to watch us on iOS, obviously you don't have Flash, but you could still watch a live stream, and that's. But the problem is signaling to the player properly that you can't play Flash, and I gather that in some systems like Windows, there's that we just can't tell that you don't have Flash. Otherwise, we'd give you the stream that doesn't. Here's one workaround: is to get VLC, you know VLC, and if you get, oh, just checking, if you get the link. to the direct to the stream, and you can get that on our wiki, wiki.twit.tv. There's a page called How to Watch. Mm-hmm. And you paste that into VLC and bookmark it. Then you just watch in VLC and you don't need Flash.
Okay, that's great. The last thing is just actually, it's a complaint about the Twit network. So I'm a student and it's taking up too much of my study time.
Well, stop it. What are you studying?
This week in law, 10 years today, 10 years tonight.
Oh, I love you, Robbie.
And my favorite, security now.
Isn't it great? You know what? It's yeah. I'm so grateful. What are you studying?
Maths. A degree in maths.
Oh, you're a smarty. Smarty pants. Well, keep up the good work. We'll probably need you in the crypto field if you're a maths major.
That's hopefully what I'm getting into.
Nice. I don't know what to say. You're learning. But that's all I can say. I'm glad you're hooked. Thank you, Robbie. It's great to talk to you. All right.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Great to talk to you. See ya.
Bye-bye. Right. Go Bruins.
Bye. You too.
That was cute. I'm glad we got him. Did he call back or just...
He did call back.
Good.
Yeah.
It was just a bad connection. Yeah. Sometimes happens. SW Tech Boy, they do work on Android. I'm able to go to twit.tv/live and watch on my Android device. So I don't... Without Flash again. It used to be a hard thing to do, but I think it now works better for some reason. I don't know if it's us. I don't know if it's you. I don't know if it's them. We're kind of at the mercy of the streaming partners because we don't pay them. Oh, I'm so sorry. Australia beat Scotland 35-34. The Rugby World Cup in Twickenham. Oh, it's that Bernard Foley fella. He's crap. He kicked the last gasp penalty to break Scottish hearts and send the Wallabies to a semi-final. Ugh. 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 Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, all that jazz. 888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Talked a little more with Robbie off the air. We gave him some pointers. It is not at all uncommon that, I'm not surprised, really, that Windows Update can get stuck. And unfortunately, a lot of times what happens is you try to run an update. It fails, and you go on with your life, and then the following month there are more updates, but they don't go through either because for some reason Microsoft says you have to have these in order, and if you miss one, then it will basically be, they'll be blocked from that then on. And that's not a good thing. These updates, in many cases, don't just fix bugs, you know, crashes and stuff. They fix security flaws. See, a bug can often lead to a security flaw. In fact, most security flaws come from bugs, program errors that the bad guys can then weaponize and use to get into your system. So it's so important when Microsoft puts out these patches, and not just Microsoft, but anything that goes online, that means Adobe Flash, that means your PDF reader, whatever, anything that can be called by a browser to go online has to be kept absolutely religiously kept up to date because those patches are a signal to the bad guys. Yeah, we found a problem. Now the bad guys know where to look. And it's usually not very long after the patch that an exploit, we call them exploits, come out. A way to take advantage of that flaw to get into your machine. I talked to a great security guy, a Finnish fellow named Mikko Hipponen. I know I'm mispronouncing his name terribly. It's the best I can do. On Monday, he is, for 25 years now, he's been a virus and malware researcher at one of the best companies in this business, F-Secure. And I asked Mikko, you know, it's changed. In the early days of viruses, people were just, you know, vandals. It was kids. Then they would screen, you know, put a message up saying, ha ha, I just erased your hard drive. But of course, now it's really much worse because it isn't just kids, maybe kids, but they're doing it for a different reason. Not glory, not vandalism, but in fact to make money. And there are some nefarious ways to do this. The most common money-making scheme in the malware world these days is something called CryptoLocker or CryptoWall. These are viruses, malware, that you will get most commonly from visiting a website that's infected. Not a bad website. In fact, often it's a normal website, but there was a flaw. It's a kind of a chain, a cascade of flaws. There was a flaw in the software on the website, which the bad guy used to put a malware or exploit kit on the website. The kit has many, many different exploits on it. When you go visit that compromised website, it starts probing your browser. Does this very quickly, of course, and looking for weaknesses in your browser. Oh, he hasn't updated Adobe Reader. Oh, he hasn't updated Winamp, the MP3 player. Oh, he hasn't updated his browser. Finds the flaws and then gets software on your system to run without your knowledge. And, of course, CryptoWall is one of the worst because, and you may have even seen this, you've certainly seen news reports about it. What it does is it encrypts all the documents on your hard drive so that you can't access them anymore. And then puts up a message, often pretending to be law enforcement. This is the FBI. You have been caught doing something bad. They do that to scare you so you won't think too hard about sending them money. You've been caught with child pornography. You have two choices, this message will say. You can go to jail or you can go to your local 7-Eleven and buy money pack coupons totaling $300 and send them to this address. You have 3 days to respond. Now, of course, the FBI would not ever do that, and I think that makes it pretty obvious. Still, your stuff's encrypted, so you go down, you get the money packs, which is, by the way, an anonymous way of sending money. They're kind of international money orders that can't be traced. The recipient can't be traced. Or you send them Bitcoin is another way to do it. Most people don't have Bitcoin, so they figure out a way to get paid in a way that they can't be caught. And some of these people are making millions of dollars a month on these hack attempts. But the reason is, imagine if you're a business and you know you just got your entire hard drive encrypted. You have no longer access to your accounts, receivable or anything. You're going to give them $300. Heck yeah. You may or may not get an unlocking passcode back. The solution to this is not to get it in the first place. Or, as Miko told me, number one rule, have a good backup. Because if you have a good backup, then you just thumb your nose at the guys and say, okay, fine, you encrypted my stuff, but fortunately I have an unencrypted copy right here. There are other things that bad guys do to take advantage of you. They may be looking for credit card numbers, maybe looking for bank logins. They can do all of that. They can use your machine. I used to say they use your machine to send spam. I guess that's less common these days. They can hijack your machine along with thousands of others to attack systems. There's all sorts of things they can do with it. So don't get the malware. And the best way not to get malware, well, as Miko said, make sure you have a backup. But number two, update. And that's why if your Windows update isn't working, you should not ignore that. You should figure out what's wrong and fix it because you must install those updates. And again, not just Windows updates, but anything that goes online. Whatever browser you use, Firefox or Chrome, good thing about Firefox and Chrome, they automatically update. But every once in a while, just, you know, look at the about box and see, is it up to date? It'll tell you. And if it's not, close Chrome, restart it, it'll update. Same with Firefox. Internet Explorer is kind of still around, although Microsoft's phasing it out for Edge. The new Edge browser automatically updates. Adobe updates Flash from time to time. Very important. Flash, it seems to be a common area for bad guys to take advantage of. So make sure you always have that up to date. Shockwave, an earlier version of Flash, still around. Adobe Reader, you a lot of browsers, if it sees a PDF file on a website, will just open it. It'll say, hey, Adobe Reader, I got something for you, and open it. And believe it or not, it's possible to craft a malicious PDF document or MP3 file that will take advantage of a flaw in the player software. So you always want to keep anything that's going online, even if it's just called by your browser to help out, must be kept up to date at all times. And then, of course, there's spear phishing. Don't get me started on that. That's really the most lucrative thing, is to go after a company specifically. That's what happened to Sony Pictures Entertainment. We think. We don't know. But it seems to be the case that the hackers who got in there months earlier sent an email to an employee that looked real, that had a bad malicious attachment that was a program. Probably the email said something like, Miss Carruthers, here's the spreadsheet. I'd like you to work on this tonight and have it for me first thing in the morning. And Miss Carruthers goes, oh, my, I don't know about that, but yes, boss, and opens the spreadsheet. What she doesn't know is it's not numbers.xls. It's numbers.xls.exe. And it's not a spreadsheet, but it's a program. But by the time she's opened it, it's too late because it snuck bad stuff onto her system. And now the bad guys can get into the Sony network, which we think they did many months before they started raiding it, and snoop around. They got passwords, they got logins, they got access. And a few months later, all heck broke loose. That's spear phishing. They're targeting you with an email. 8888-ASK-LEO. Let's go back to the phones. We will talk more with you right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. Go back to the phones here. And Dick is on the line from Silverado Canyon, California. Hello, Dick.
Hello, Leo.
Hello.
Did it.
Did it, dot, dot. You must be a ham radio operator.
W1 November Mike Zulu.
That's a good handle. I'm Whiskey 6 Tango Whiskey Tango.
Hey.
7-3.
All righty. Okay, number one.
Mm.
I got three things here.
Okay.
No, the last two are easy. Number one, I am going nuts trying to find faxing software in the local stores.
Yeah, because nobody... Can I give you a hint, Dick?
I remember the days of WinFax Pro.
Yeah, nobody faxes anymore. Actually, the way they do it, they do fax, which is weird because we have now all sorts of solutions like DocuSign that make it much more secure. But Realty and Realtors are, you know, last time I bought a house, yep, lots of faxes.
Yep.
And then you sign it and you fax it back to them. But what's happened is the software has been replaced. The reason is the software then requires you have special fax hardware connected to your phone line.
I do.
I know you do, but you're one of the last, the few, the proud, the home faxers.
The ancient.
So most people don't have that specialized hardware. They also don't want to have their computer connected to the phone line because sometimes it answers and it's annoying.
Yeah.
So they use online services, and that's probably the best thing for you to do going forward.
Oh, darn.
Now, you still need a scanner if it's a piece of paper you want to fax. But a lot of the times, for instance, the realtor would send me the fax, but the service would convert it to a PDF file, which I would then take my handy-dandy PDF software, stamp my signature on it, and then fax it out. And I never had a piece of paper, but the realtor didn't know or care.
Right.
So most of the time now, documents are digital. If they're not, you could scan them in and make them digital. What do you need faxes for?
I have to fax once a month. For the Medicare reimbursement.
Yeah, isn't that, you know, the government, of course.
What gets to me is they won't accept email.
Yeah. Come on, government. We're in the internet age.
Oh,
so the other thing you can do is get, you know, if you get a all-in-one printer, they have faxes built into them.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And then it's really just like the old-fashioned fax machine, except you don't have to buy that thermal paper anymore. And you plug it into the phone jack just like you did before, and you can scan it and send it. And, geez, that's a real annoying that you have to do that. Here's what I would do. Here's what I would do. Go look at efax.com.
Yeah.
If you get the service, what you'll do is you, once and only once on your computer, you will create that form you have to send. I used to have to fax timesheets to the radio station. So I made a fake one, right, with handwritten numbers and a handwritten signature, and I just fax it to them once a month. So you could create that Medicare form, maybe add stuff each month or something different on it. You can modify that easily with PDF software, and then send it via e-fax. And it, from their point of view, they don't know you're not using a fax machine. They don't care.
Uh-huh. That's good.
Yeah. So it's part of the privacy thing. You know, they're afraid of doing it over the internet because email is, you know, isn't secure and they want to make it private. So they send a fax, which is private only because nobody really cares to take the time to break it.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to figure out how to get this fax. So
you mentioned two websites, and I didn't have time to write the whole thing down.
Yeah.
One was x1.net or com?
Com.
Okay.
That's a search tool, really good search tool. I'm sad that it hasn't really taken off. I think most people just say, well, I got search. I don't need a special $50 search tool, but it's really good.
And the other one is alternative two.
Wait a minute.
I got to write that
this
down.
This is a really good, I mention this a lot. It's a really useful tool.
Alternative number two.
No, T-O. It's like, what's the alternative to Microsoft Word?
Okay.
Alternative2.net.
Alternative2.net.
Now, I'll give you a hint, Dick. We put all of the links that I talk about at techguylabs.com. So that's my website. And you can look through the shows hour by hour and day by day and find anything that I mentioned. And that way, you don't have to write anything down.
Great.
Just remember that one, techguylabs.com.
I wonder if anybody ever got their cell phone antenna problem solved. I don't know if you remember that call.
No, what was that one where it broke off?
No, it was the other way around. Quite some time ago, somebody came on and started talking about these fractal antennas that are built
on
the phone and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And because I spent part of my career at Lockheed.
I remember you, Dick. Yes.
Antenna designer.
You're an antenna guru.
Yes, and I said the best thing that ever came out of those cell phones was a little quarter wave, stick it up in the air, extendable antenna.
Which they took off because everybody broke them off.
Yes. Yes, me. Mine still has one.
Good for you. Yeah, they've jumped through crazy hoops to make the antennas work in a cell phone because people don't want anything sticking up, which means their hand is all over the antenna. And is it a ham? You know, the worst thing you can do with an antenna is touch it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Retunes it all over the place.
Yeah. Suddenly it's a different length. So what they do, all sorts of crazy stuff now in these phones, including tunable antennas. They sense where you're touching, the capacitance of where you're touching, and they retune the antenna so that it still works.
Yeah, and think of all of the processing power and all the stuff that requires.
All you need is a little thing that comes up out of it.
Yeah, you know, a little 20-penny nail or something. You'll be home free.
Hey, Dick, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Have a good one, Leo.
All right, take care, Dick. People are pointing out that it's kind of expensive to use e-fax, like $20 a month, which is crazy. So it only makes sense if you're a realtor or somebody sending a lot of faxes. If you only have to fax once a month, you know, you could go down to the UPS store and do it, get that printer. Almost all the companies, my favorite, of course, our sponsor, Epson, make what they call multifunction printers that will scan, that will print, and they will also fax and make sure it says that on the box. There are other fax solutions out there that you pay by the fax. Fax Zero is one, Guy Smiley tells me. That's $1.99 per fax. If you're only sending one a month, that's still cheaper than buying the monthly fee of e-fax. I think this is all going the way of the buggy whip and the cell phone antenna at some point. Because there are ways to send email confidentially. There are ways to sign digitally that are much more reliable. Isn't it funny that for so many years we relied on checks, on credit card slips, on contracts, on the signature. Like, that somehow identified you. Of course, there's a whole bunch of forgers who say otherwise. A lot better to use some sort of digital technology to authenticate you. This, by the way, that's like one of the number one problems in computer science is authentication. That's why we have this horrible password situation. How do you prove you are you? And it's probably not by asking for your social security number or your thumbprint. There's got to be a better way, or your password. It's got to be a better way. And I think a lot of the best minds in technology are working on that right now. Authentication is critical to even to everything, to money, to everything, isn't it? 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. Can't get a virus by fax. There's no spear phishing by fax. Authentication is the underlying issue in a lot of this stuff. Oh, look, I got my new doorbell. I saw somebody installing a Ring on Twitter. I get tweets lots of times from people with the new Ring video doorbell. Have you heard about this thing? It's such a good idea. It's kind of like caller ID for your house. Go to ring.com/tech guy and you can read all about it. So the idea of this thing is it replaces your existing doorbell. Most people's doorbells on their houses, anyway, have two little wires coming out of the door jamb, and you just take off the old doorbell. There they are, and you can install the Ring video doorbell. But you don't have to have that kind of wired doorbell. The Ring video doorbell here, if I take this off, I can show you. The Ring video doorbell also has a battery built in. You can just mount it on the wall, use it as a battery-driven doorbell. And they even sell us a device in the house that will chime. But you don't really need that because here's the cool thing. When you install the Ring video doorbell, you get it on your Wi-Fi. And now it's network connected. See this? That's a camera, a wide-angle camera. So you get HD video. There's a speaker in here so you can talk to people with the doorbell. And there's a microphone so you can hear them. You can converse with them. So when somebody rings my doorbell, whether I'm home or at work, I hear dun-dum-dum on my... Actually, on my phones, on my tablets, on my everywhere. It's Android or iOS. And it says somebody's at your door. And I can talk to them. I can say, well, I'm not here right now. Actually, best thing to do would be say, I'm in the bathtub right now. Could you just leave the package? Here, somebody rang my doorbell this morning. You also, by the way, see it says motion. It's a motion detector, too. So if somebody just goes up on the porch and snoops through the window, I'm going to see them. I'm going to see video of them. Here you go. Here's video. Let's find out. I don't know who rang my doorbell this morning. Oh, it's the UPS guy or FedEx lady. There you go. She's running off. So see, she put a package there and she rang the doorbell and she left. Now, one of the nice things is if she's still standing there, I could say, yeah, hi. She said, I have a package for you. I said, could you just put it there? I need you to sign. Well, I'm in the tub right now. Just pretend I signed. Okay. Now, but that's okay. That's one thing. But what if it's a bad guy? Because bad guys, you know what happens. They come to when they think you're at work. They ring the doorbell just to make sure you're not home. So that then they go around back and break in. But with the Ring video doorbell, you don't have to worry about that. Because even if you're at work, you're going to hear ding, ding, ding. And you answer the door and you say, I'm in the bathtub. And they go, okay, well, never mind. And they run away. You can even see when people leave. There's my daughter. Now, I know I'm spying on her, but it is my porch. So I know when Abby arrives in the middle of the night or leaves in the middle. This is such a great thing. It's security for your home, kind of like caller ID for your home. Right now, you get free FedEx shipping. It'll be the last time the FedEx guy rings your doorbell and you're not there. Get free FedEx shipping when you go to ring.com/tech guy. I love it. About $200. It's great. Easy to install. I'm not a handyman, and yet I could do it because it comes with everything. The drill bit, the level, the screwdriver, the special bit, the locking bit so that people can't steal. All of that stuff. Ring.com/tech guy. Download the app. They have videos that walk you through the install. And you're going to get free FedEx shipping right now at ring.com/tech guy. Such a great thing. My Ring. And we thank them for their support of the Tech Guy Podcast. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Bill is on the line from Virginia. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Leo. With that bow tie, you look like a University of Virginia Law School graduate.
I like it. I'll take it.
Every time I'm in court and I see a bow tie, I know he went to UVA.
Really? Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
Did Matlock go to UVA?
Well, I went to Virginia Tech, so we were big rivals.
And there's a good school, Virginia Tech. Are you a rambling wreck?
No, we're the Hokies.
The Hokies?
Yeah, it's like a... It used to be the Fighting Gobblers, but they didn't like the turkey connotation, so they switched us to the Hokies.
This is what I like about tech schools. Organized sports, maybe not a highest priority.
Right.
The Hokies.
The Hokies.
Oh, I got to watch out for the Hokies. What can I do for you?
The Moto X. I love my original first edition Moto X, but my provider is a CDMA piggybacker on Sprint.
Yeah.
And I can't use the phone anywhere else. And I was going to get the new Moto X. And I knew you liked it for a while, but now with this Marshmallow upgrade, they're going to do away with Moto Assist.
That kills me. That's the best thing about the Moto X.
Right, and that I can go to any provider. Are there any other phones that you can change providers with the SIM card like that?
Well, you know, the good news is we're moving in that direction. Even Sprint, once everybody goes LTE and voice over LTE, then it will be the same. There'll be no GSM or CDMA because that's going to be supplanted.
Right.
And so, for instance, right now when you buy a Verizon phone, almost all the Verizon phones, even though Verizon is traditionally a CDMA carrier, they all of them have SIM cards for the LTE slot. And in most cases, you can just use them on any carrier by replacing the SIM card. Your old Moto X, yeah, no. Right. It's like a CDMA-only phone. The new Moto X, though, maybe. So you want to stay with your carrier or?
Went out of business. They sold all the towers to T-Mobile. They're in Waynesboro, Virginia. And then they sold out to Shantel. So I don't know if Shantel's still going to use the Antelos name. But they said that I could not, they were not going to provide service here on the East Coast anymore.
I think it's time for a new carrier.
Until November 15th to find a provider.
I like T-Mobile. And T-Mobile lets you bring almost any phone there.
And do they still have the 100 minutes?
They do. You have to search. It's on their pay-as-you-go, you know, your GoPhone page. It's not a prepaid plan as traditional cell phones are. It's a pay-as-you-go. You pay per month. But at the very bottom there, and this is a great deal if you don't use the phone as a phone very much. It's 100 minutes a month and then unlimited text and data for $30.
And can you tether with that?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. No, if you always have to pay more for tethering.
And if I get this Moto X Pure, if I don't upgrade to Marshmallow, will I be able to keep the Moto X?
Yeah, sure. Because there are some reasons you might want to upgrade to Marshmallow. One of the reasons I abandoned the Pure, I gave it to our office manager, Frederica. She loves it. It's a great phone. I mean, it really is beautiful. And I got a nice ebony back, and I love that Moto maker. But... the battery life. I couldn't get through a day. I need to get past dinner. And most Android phones will not get past supper time. And right. Marshmallow is probably going to help that on all the phones.
Right. Well, I carry a little charger.
Oh, you don't mind then.
And then I also have a little Canon I carry around for pictures, so I'm not too worried about the camera either.
The camera was pretty good. It's 21 megapixels. I actually thought it was quite good. I love that phone. The battery life was the only negative. And yes, I'm kind of mad at Motorola. Because,
but they act like there'll be apps that will do the thing.
So Moto Assist was great because it would know what you were doing. If you were in a meeting, it would look at your calendar. If you were driving, it would look at your Bluetooth. If you were and it would respond appropriately. So you could say, hey, when I'm driving, just send a text message when the phone rings. Says I can't talk right now. I'll call you back, or talk to me, read me my text messages, and I'll respond by voice.
Right.
I just love that. I'm in a meeting. You know, I wasn't for a meeting so much as being on the air, being on the radio. So it would just automatically silence itself when it saw, oh, yeah, you're on the air. And that was great.
Right.
And they're going to take that out, and I don't know why. There is a program called Agent that does much the same thing, but I don't know if it's as, you know, the nice thing about this Moto Assist and all the Moto stuff is it's so tightly integrated to the hardware. The hardware's designed for it.
Right.
I feel, you know, what happened is Google sold Motorola to Lenovo.
Right.
And they've kept some of the heritage. They're still in Chicago. They haven't left. But I feel like there's a creeping a creeping Lenovo in there. They're slowly changing what we loved so much.
And another quick question. I'm thinking about doing my business phone with Ring Central. Do you get a phone listing in the phone books with that? Or, you know, Verizon, of course, is who I'm with now, and you're in the phone book, which I think, you know, is part of the...
That's a good question.
yeah, I have a lot of...
What's a phone book? It's that thing that...
yeah, I have a lot of older people that don't get on
the internet. Yeah, no, they want a phone book.
Yeah, they've looked me up in the phone book. And,
you know, I don't know the answer. I mean, we're, you know, we have a phone number that's published. I don't know if it's in the Pacific Bell phone book, you know, the phone book delivered by the phone company, because we're not a customer of Pacific Bell, so I would guess not. But it's published on the internet. It's, you know, Google publishes it. It's everywhere. You can find our phone number. So I don't know. That would have to be an additional service, I would think.
And my first generation Moto X, will I be able to use that on Wi-Fi just like...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You don't need to complain. I don't have a SIM. He said, fine, I don't want you to have a SIM.
Okay.
You don't need a SIM.
All right. Not activated. And on the Moto X, the little piggyback services like Cricket, can I put a SIM card in from places like that? Or
you should ask the company. So
yeah.
We have an advertiser called Ting, which works on Sprint and T-Mobile. And the first thing you do before you use them, you go to their website and you type in your identifier, they call it the IMEI, that uniquely identifies that phone. And they look it up and they say yes or no. And well, any carrier should...
Earlier, and I saw where Ting sells the Pure Edition Moto
Yeah,
X.
I'm sure it works. Oh, I know it works on Ting because it works with T-Mobile.
And you just get their SIM card.
Yeah, they send you a SIM card. You put it in. I don't want to give them a free ad here, but you know what? It's a really good service. It really works.
Right.
Yeah. Ting as in ring with a T.
Okay.
But there are a number. That's got an MVNO, Mobile Virtual Network Operator. They're not, they're resellers, just like your original carrier was.
Right.
And
number if I don't find somebody by the November 15th.
Yeah, you want to save your number. And, of course, the FCC does require that to be portable.
But I didn't want to jump on this Moto X, and then they come out with another phone that has all four providers that you can put a SIM card in, or
you know, the iPhone does that. Most companies would kind of prefer to make one device that works on all. And U.S. is unusual that we have these two different kinds of carriers.
Most, so the new iPhone, you can put in anybody's SIM card?
Anybody's SIM card. Because it has all the radios. It's about radio frequencies.
Right.
The only exception is there's a special radio frequency for AT&T. They haven't even turned it on yet. That will only be used with an AT&T iPhone. But it doesn't mean it won't work. It just means you won't be able to use that one frequency.
Right. Well, I thought still one of the selling points of the Moto X was that it covered all the bands and the other ones
yeah.
didn't.
Well, I love it that it's unlocked. I really do. But CDMA, you know, that's tricksy.
And if you buy the iPhone from the Apple store, is that unlocked?
Yeah, they sell unlocked and carrier-locked versions. Though they may say that the unlocked version is a T-Mobile version, but it's unlocked.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm glad I could answer all those hundreds of questions.
Right. I got them in quick.
I appreciate it, Bill.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. Have a great afternoon. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. You know, the stuff I talk about, as I mentioned, is on the website. You don't have to write anything down. Maybe you're scribbling all this stuff. You don't have to scribble because James DeRuvo's doing it. He's writing it all down and putting it on the website, techguylabs.com. There's no sign-up. There's no fee. I don't want your email address. You can keep that. But it's all there. We divide it up to show by show and hour by hour. You can find whatever you need right there, techguylabs.com. I guess I should change to Fox or whatever it is that... The DraftKings... Channel. That's a great story. But, you know, it turns out, so DraftKings has raised almost $1 billion in investment. $300 million of it came from Fox. But the agreement was that they would buy $260 million in ads on football. And Fox, in return, got, I think, a third. I can't remember, some big chunk of the network of DraftKings. But it'll be kind of funny if DraftKings ends up being illegal. I don't know what a Fox will do then. Do it, Speed Racer. So here's the deal. That is a nice thing T-Mobile does. He has the T-Mobile Unlocker app, and all T-Mobile phones come with this. But it may not run. You run it, and it says, nope, can't do it yet. Because there are rules about what you have to own it for a certain amount of time. I tried it on my S6, and I can't. Well, of course, Vegas kicked him out.
We do not take kindly to other people getting in on our action.
Comcast also, and NBC Universal also invested in DraftKings. You can go. You have to search, but I'll show you how you find the $30 plan. It goes to T-Mobile.com. All right, and you're looking at T-Mobile here, and you look at the plans, and you look at the prepaid plans. There you go. That's what you want. Ditch those second, and you go right down to the bottom there. Nope. See simple choice. I don't know if it's a simple choice plan. Let's see. No, it's not. Yeah, you got to go back a little bit. It's pay as you go plan. See that there? Pay as you go. And then you got to keep looking. They've started to really hide it. Here we go. Here we go. See, shop other options. Here we go. They really don't want you to find this. Let's put a link in the show notes to this page, because you have to dig in there. It's other prepaid plans. I'll put a link in here. Yeah, well, you already got the link. There it is. Thank you, CR1. Other prepaid plans. Unlimited web and text, but 100 minutes of talk. But if you don't talk, which I don't, that's great. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888, ask Leo. Sunny. Oh, by the way, we're going to put, this is, should Bill brought up this thing, this $30 plan that T-Mobile has, that T-Mobile hides. Because I think they don't really want you to do this. They're hoping you'll be seduced by the other plans before you dig deep enough. But we are going to put a link in the show notes directly to that page at techguylabs.com. It is, it is prepaid-phones.t-mobile.com/other-prepaid-plans. It's in the other prepaid plans. $30 a month for unlimited texts, unlimited data, but you only get 100 minutes of talk time. But if you don't talk on the phone, and a lot of us don't, or if we talk the brief calls, like, yeah, I'll get back to you, or no, I don't want any. If you don't use 100 minutes, I don't even answer my phone because I don't want to use any minutes. If you use anything less than 100 minutes, this is a great deal. $30 a month, it's a good deal. But you only can talk on the phone 3 minutes a day. Sunny in Torrance, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Sunny.
Hello, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Absolutely. So my question is on domain names. I've been in search for some time now for a name for my small business, and I came up with one a couple of days ago. And what I did was type that into my browser to see what reaction would happen. And GoDaddy came up and said, would you like to turn this name into a website?
Interesting.
So my question is, I've heard you talk about Squarespace. So I went to Squarespace and kind of looked at their website, looked at GoDaddy.
Yeah.
I couldn't really tell, what the differences are.
So there is a difference in the business, okay? GoDaddy is a domain name registrar. Their primary business is registering your domain name.
Mm-hmm.
Then they try to sell you, after you do that, web hosting, email hosting, a variety of other services on top of that. They also do something that I feel is fairly nefarious, and some have accused them of being even more nefarious than I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
That name they own. They don't have a site there. They're not using it, but they bought it, hoping that you'd come along. And by the way, I don't think it's going to be $10 a month. Have you checked the price?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, the price is going to be a little higher. There have been those, and I've heard this time and time again, who said, Yeah, I went to GoDaddy, and I searched for a domain name, and I found one I liked. And I put it in my cart, but then I didn't buy it, and I came back later, and GoDaddy had bought it and wanted to sell it to me. And so there's some sense in the world that GoDaddy might be watching web domain name searches and then snapping up that domain name so that they can sell it to you for a higher price. Because if they own it, they don't sell it to you at the base price. Now, understand, it isn't enough just to go online and type thisgreatdomainname.com, because you can have a domain name and not make a website. Doesn't mean anything.
Right.
I own many domain names. I own tunictime.com, but if you go there, you're not going to find a site called tunictime because I never made a website on it. I had a fancy idea. I was going to sell some tunics, a special kind of specially designed gold lame tunics, but I gave up on that, and I still have the domain name. So most domain names, I venture to say, are not. There's no site attached to it. So what you need to do is what's called a whois search. And there are a number of sites on the internet that will do these. Just Google whois. And what you'll do is whois tunictime.com. And then it will tell you who owns it. And then you can decide if it's not owned, that's the best thing. Then you can go to a registrar, GoDaddy or anybody else, and register it. And you'll pay the base price, the $12 a month or whatever it is that they – or a year or whatever it is they charge. All right.
Would that be Squarespace also?
Well, now Squarespace is a web hosting company, so it's a different business. They do, you know, GoDaddy also does web hosting, so in that sense they're the same, but they're not a registrar. If you subscribe for a year with Squarespace, they will give you a domain name free, but what they just go to a registrar and register it for you. That's not their business. Their primary business is web hosting. So what the normal course of events is you go to a registrar, you register a domain name that you want. Mm-hmm. Usually that's about somewhere between 10 and 15 bucks a year. It's not expensive. Then you go to Squarespace and you set up a site and you say, now I want to connect that to the domain name I own, and they'll walk you through the process. It's a fairly simple process.
Okay, great. So I would go to a registrar such as GoDaddy?
Yeah, the first thing I would do is...
Whois.
Is do a whois. You can go to betterwhois.com as one example and type in that domain name. That'll tell you who owns it. If, in fact, that result comes up GoDaddy, which I suspect it will, then you have to go to GoDaddy and say, well, how much do you want for it? They've bought it. See, to me, that bothers me. If you're in the business of selling domain names, you should not also be in the business of scalping domain names. And in effect, that's what they're doing. Just like a ticket scalper buys tickets to a concert, assuming somebody's going to pay him more for those tickets down the road. That's what GoDaddy seems to be doing. They're buying domain names they think people will want and then charging them more for it. I don't think that's the right thing to do.
Now, would Squarespace have the ability of getting that name for me?
Yeah. No. Yeah, probably not. I mean, first do a Better Who Is on that name, betterwhois.com. See who owns it. If it still comes up GoDaddy, then go to it and GoDaddy will give you a link and you click that link and find out what they want. It may only be 20 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
It may be $1,000. If it's a really good domain, it may be many thousands of dollars.
And this is forever or for a limited time?
Well, once you own it, but you have to continue to pay for it each year. So it's yours, but if you don't renew it, you'll lose it.
Each year?
Well, most registrars will do more than a year term. And it's a good idea to do more than a year term if it's going to be a website, because Google will give you better search results if they know you're in for the long haul. So they say, oh, he's only registered for a year. We don't know. He might be a spammer. But if you say, I'm registering for that for 3 years, I usually, for instance, when I got my kids' domain names, because one of the first things I did is register their names.com, I paid for 20 years because I figured, well, by the time they're 21, they'll either want it or not. But at least I'm going to hold it till they're 21.
Right.
So in some cases, you can go as long as 20 years. That might be $200 if it's $10 a year, but then you don't have to think about it. Most registrars will have auto-renew, so you'll give them a credit card number, and they'll notify you. They'll say, hey, your name is about to expire. We're going to auto-renew it on October 30th, if you unless you tell us otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So,
Again, I go to who is www and the name?
No. You go to Better Who Is. I mean, there are a lot of these, but I use Better Who Is.
Okay.
They have advertising on there. It's a free service that they're running. And then you enter in the name of the site that you think, I like this site. Who is this site available? And then it's going to go through a search, and it'll tell you who owns that site. If GoDaddy owns it, it'll say GoDaddy owns it.
Mm.
If somebody else owns it, it'll say, it's already in use. And then you could go to the owner and say, hey, do you want it? Can I buy it from you? I mean, there is this secondary market of domain names. If you find a domain name that's not owned, it's usually very inexpensive. Depends on the registrar and so forth. .coms are not that expensive.
Okay.
There's Internic. The Internic, which is another service, has a whois. If you go to internic.net, they're probably a better... You know what? They're non-commercial, so let's use the Internic. That's the Internet Network Information Center.
Internic.
Internic. Network Information
Center. NIC.
Yep. And try that one, and then you'll see who owns domain. And it's a worthwhile exercise. Do that, because entering a website address doesn't tell you really anything except that there's no website at that address. When you get the information, it's usually pretty complete, like who the registrar is. That may be GoDaddy, but it'll also in there have who actually owns it, which is separate from the registrar. In some cases, my registrar, for instance, hides the name of the person who owns it for privacy reasons. So sometimes that'll be obscured, but you'll at least know that it's owned, and you'll know who owns it, or kind of sort of who owns it. That's a good starting point. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. My doorbell's ringing. Oh, I know who that is. That would be Burke getting my stuff. Internet can't find twit.tv. Yeah, so Twit, like everything else, is registered at Hover, but the TV registrar is technically the Tuvalu Nick. Oh, I don't know. Some of these whois things aren't so good. Oh, it doesn't do TV. You're right. If you look, it searches only certain TLDs. TV.tv is not one of them. Let's try Better Whois. See if it does that. You might have to go to the Network Information Center. Oh, yeah, see, it's going to send me to the Tuvalu people. Oh, I don't know. This is just an ad. It's a mess out there. What's whois.com do? Is that... that's another company. That's a registrar that bought whois.com. It's a mess! It's a mess. PCs do that? PC do what? Have you seen those ads? PCs do what? This is the worst ad. This is Microsoft... partnering with Lenovo and Dell and HP, trying to save the PC marketplace with the worst ad campaign ever. Let me just, I don't know, maybe it's not as bad as the Churro one, but here, watch.
PC does what?
PC
PC does what no PC has done before. Does yours?
Wow. That is so bad. Is that not the dumbest?
I don't even know what they're advertising.
No, that's a good point. What are they advertising? PC does what?
They're advertising uncertainty.
Uncertainty. What does PC do? Why is Microsoft's advertising just so bad? $70 million they're spending. And I would like to say, if you would guys would like to put it on Twit, we'd be glad to take your money. Here's Poolside. Oh, I guess Intel's involved in this as well. Get ready.
PC does what?
What?
PC does Infinity Edge Display. PC does what no PC has done before. Does yours?
PC does what?
PC does 360 degree rotations. PC does what no PC has done before. Does yours? PC does amazingly thin designs. PC does what no PC has done before. Does yours?
This video is private. I guess I'll never see that one. Why is the fifth one private?
It's that bad.
YouTube does what? It's really bad. Now I know I can slide my PC under the door. Should I ever want to? PC does what? I think you need to be a little more urban with it. PC does what?
You could do that.
PC does what? What you talking about, PC? The problem really is that nobody wants to buy a PC anymore. So they're trying to convince you that your old PC doesn't do this. The new PC does it. So you need to buy a new PC. PC does what?
Well, if you open it up, you can use the keyboard to type messages that go out on the internet.
No! Say what?
Yeah. Yeah. Look at this. I have a PC right here.
Are you telling me your PC will do that?
Yes, it does that.
What does it do? PC does what?
Watch, I touched it.
No. Yeah. Well, hey. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and, you know, all that jazz. 888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. You can use Skype to call us, as Robbie did from Scotland earlier. Just use Skype. If you're calling a toll-free number, it won't cost you anything. 888-827-5536. I was just watching during the break, the chat room and I were watching the new campaign, the new ad campaign for PCs, which means Windows computers, in case you didn't know. I wonder if people understand that anymore. There's PCs and there's Macs. Seems like they're all really PCs, personal computers. Anything on your desk, that's a PC. Anything in your lap, that's a PC. Mac or PC. Mac or Windows, it's a PC. But anyway, personal computer, per PC. The new ad is sponsored by Microsoft and Intel and Lenovo and Dell and HP, the kind of the big PC makers. And it's probably the worst ad campaign I've ever seen. They say they're going to spend $70 million. And I imagine if you watch football or, you know, any major network television over the next couple of weeks, you'll see these ads. The campaign is, believe it or not, PC does what? and the question mark. PC does, I think you're supposed to, in your mind, but they don't want to make it sound, they, I think it's supposed to be like, PC does what? You're supposed to be like, what? Except that in the ads, they're more like, PC does what? And even then, it doesn't work. The whole thing just doesn't work. The idea would be that, I'm shocked. You mean my PC can flip around and the keyboard goes around backwards? What? Or there's one part of the ad, a bellboy. Do we even still have bellboys? A bellboy comes down a hotel hall and slides the PC under the door. He folds it flat and slides it. PC does what? Says the guy in the room, muffled.
PC does what?
Which is probably not the first thing I'd say if a PC came sliding under the slot of my door. But then the weirdest one is a rescue helicopter, in which they take multiple opportunities to say this. First, the guy with the yellow, you know, the orange beacons that's telling the helicopter it's safe to take off. He's watching the guy in the helicopter, and he flips the guy flips the keyboard around, and the guy with doing the yellow things as the helicopter is taking off says, PC does what? And then the rescue people in the helicopter decide they need some soundtrack, so they play Top Gun. Fly into the danger zone on the PC, and the sound is filling the helicopter, which if you've ever been in a helicopter seems highly unlikely. But apparently it's really swelling throughout the helicopter, and the pilot goes, PC does what? And then the final scenario in this three-act nightmare of a commercial is they're going down on the wire to rescue some guy in a lifeboat. Apparently the guy saved two things. He saved a suit and his PC. And so he's sitting in the lifeboat. Now, the weird thing is it's not really clear at all what he's doing with the PC. Apparently he's shooting a picture of the guy rescuing him. Maybe he's on Skype trying to call for help. I don't know. But the guy coming down on the wire looks and he says, PC does what? That's the ad. And I don't know what you're supposed to come away with it from. Confusion about what PCs do? I don't know. Apparently the world is confused. The story that Microsoft and its partners put out is that, well, people just don't buy new computers anymore. So we just wanted to show them some of the features of the latest computers. Like you can slide it under a hotel door. Or you can watch Skype when you're a lifeboat. I don't know. And maybe they'll go, wow, I need to buy a new PC. So this ad is your fault. Because you seem to think that two-year-old PC is just fine. But can you fold it in half and put the screen on top? Can you slide it under a hotel room door? Can you play ride into the danger zone at full volume in a helicopter and hear every last note? If you can't, you need to go spend money. That's the message. Please. Somebody in the chat room saying, and you're absolutely right, as long as the ad gets your attention, it's done its job. It got my attention. And by the way, the rest of the world's attention, because all I've seen is the article saying, what is this terrible ad campaign? Meanwhile, Microsoft, it's funny because Microsoft has a really amazing new notebook that is very sweet, very cool, does a lot of great things. If they just did an ad that showed, you know, it has a stylus, you can draw on the screen, and it's a touch screen, but it's a notebook, and you could detach the screen and do stuff. I mean, they just show that. Just tell us what it does. Is that too much to ask? PC does what? 8888 Ask Leo. Jim's on the line from Lakewood, Colorado. Hi, Jim.
Oh, hi, Leo. Yes. Well, first, I wanted to say about the Apple Watch. The main use of my Apple Watch is controlling your podcast.
Ah, yeah, because it has, if you slide up, you can pause, play, rewind. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're walking around the house and you're doing errands and your wife talks to you, you want to pause it.
Nice.
Or, you know, turn the volume up. So
very good.
Yes.
That's
my question is, again, on podcasts, I listen to a podcast, and I also am hiking out in the woods and taking pictures. And with the new 5S Plus that I got, when I take a picture, as soon as I open up the app, it just pauses the podcast.
Yeah, you know why? I have that same thing happen. So Apple has allowed podcasting apps and other music apps to play in the background. But when you open the camera, it might be the case that you want to record video, in which case you'll need to use the microphone. And as soon as that gets enabled, and it gets enabled the minute you launch the app, whatever's playing in the background stops.
Yeah, but I have the live turned off. That's why I talked to the tech support, and they says that you should turn the live off, but that doesn't work.
Yeah. The live off? They said turn off what?
You know,
oh, you have the 6S. You have that live photo.
Video,
yeah.
Before
you know,
and after the...
I think the trick would be, and I don't know if you can do it because it's an Apple app, but if you can go in settings and say, I retract permission to use my microphone.
Exactly, yes. I've looked through the settings, and I can't find it.
Yeah, because it's an Apple app. Mm-hmm. Remember, third-party apps have to have that. And under privacy, you'll see all the apps that have requested permission to do these things. But, you know, what doesn't surprise me, and it's really a shame, is that Apple exempts itself from those privacy considerations. Well, we're Apple. Why would you want to?
Right, exactly.
Well, now I'm looking. Okay, here's camera. Oh no, this says what? Okay, this just says what applications have access to the camera.
Exactly.
It doesn't say what permissions the camera app has, and you cannot retract those permissions. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, I don't think you can keep the podcast going when you're taking a picture.
Well, the solution is any other camera app doesn't have that problem. Any third party.
Right. So use Camera Plus. Yeah. Yes. This is the thing that really. I mean, I love my 6S Plus, but there's some things that bug me about Apple's attitude.
Yeah.
And this is a good example. Well, no. Why would you want to do that? Why would you ever want to do that? We know what's best. Yeah, I think you found the answer, Jim. Use Camera Plus. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Are they going to run that Surface Book ad on the air, though, or is it just the video? Let me look. Have you seen it on the air? I guess it says commercial. Yeah, see, this is much better. This is Apple-esque. Thank you, Burke. You're a gentleman and a scholar. Could you bring me the S6? Because I got to install that software on it. Thank you. Yeah, this is much more spec-oriented. Yeah, this makes me want to buy it, right? But maybe we're different. Maybe we're not normal people. Because this is all about the features. Look at that. You even see the insides. Thank you. You can leave the visor out there. The visor doesn't charge or anything. No.
Oh, it's just a
pass-through. It's pass-through.
Got it.
Huh. It's a long ad. It's a minute 35. Well, obviously, you don't get to see the whole thing on TV. Leo Laporte.
The tech guy.
8888 Ask. Leo, last hour of the show today. Let me go back to the phones, though, because we got lots more calls. Paul is in La Jolla, California. Hi, Paul. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. What can you tell me about the Amazon Echo? Does it connect to your computer? And how does memory work on that thing?
I love the Echo. So the Echo's name... I'm going to whisper this because I don't want to set them off all over the country. Alexa. And when you say that name, it triggers it and it listens to you. And you can say ask all sorts of questions, give it all sorts of commands. It does require Wi-Fi, But the way they use it, I'm trying to remember when I first set it up. You will want the Alexa app on a smartphone or a tablet or on your computer, and you do need to configure it that way because you have to set it up for the first time. After that, you don't need an app or anything. It just stands alone.
And so it's a pretty... It's a pretty worth buying, in other words.
I think it's pretty cool, but it's a good, you know, worth buying. It's expensive. It's a $200 gadget. I like it. Here's how we use it. We actually bought two of them. I have one in the kitchen and one in the bedroom. I have it read to me. So I listen to audiobooks from Audible.com, which is also owned by Amazon. So I can say, and I'll say Echo, not the other word, because I don't want to wake it up, but I can say Echo, read to me. And it knows where I left off in my audiobook, and it'll pick it up right there. And it's got a decent, not a great speaker, but a decent speaker, and can get pretty loud. It also has surprisingly good microphones. You don't have to be standing next to it. You can be across the room, and it will be able to understand you. I also use it as a tea timer. So when I dip the tea in my mug, I say, Echo, set a timer for 5 minutes. And 5 minutes later, it goes boom, boom, boom. You can have multiple timers, but you can also ask it questions. It's great in the kitchen because you can say, how many cups in a quart? Or you can have it say, you can say, what's the weather going to be like today? I even sometimes in the middle of the night will wake up, say, hey, Echo, what time is it? And it'll tell me. What's the weather going to be like tomorrow? It'll tell me. So it's...
Can you get a protective warranty on it, you know, if something goes wrong?
Yeah, I'm sure you can. It's from Amazon. They're very good about standing behind those things. But, you know, if you want to know more, probably the best thing to do would be to go to Amazon's website and read up on it. It is expensive, and it's hard for me to tell people to buy it, only because I feel like it is a little bit of a gadget. On the other hand, I also feel like it's a little taste of the future. You know, if you watch 2001, remember that movie, A Space Odyssey, and the HAL computer, and they're talking to it? For the first time, it kind of gives you a sense of being able to talk to your home. Now, it isn't your home. It's a black tube, but it's not highly visible, so it just feels like your home's talking to you. Talk to your home, have it respond, and do things. If you have home automation systems like the Hue lights or the Wemo or smart things, you can control it. You could say, Echo, turn on my lights, or Echo, dim the lights, or make the lights purple. You can say, what's my next appointment? It's probably worth going to the website and reading what you can do, but and maybe find out what you can't do because... You know, you can say, you know, how old is George Bush, and it'll tell you. But you can't ask it everything. You know, it's kind of a little bit like Siri or the Google Now thing. It's a little bit small. One of the nice things Amazon does is it automatically updates it, so it's always every week it seems getting new features. In fact, they don't announce the new features. You have to either look at the app. There's an app for it, or go to the web. There are websites now that follow this and keep up with it because they're always adding little stuff to it. I love it, but I'm not sure. I don't know if it's worth $200 to most people, but to me, this is kind of a revolution. If you subscribe to Pandora, you can say play a station. So you can say Echo, play my 80s rock station, and it'll play it. It's not, again, I wish it were a better speaker. It's not your stereo. Be nice if it were a better speaker. You can ask it questions, but as long as the answers to those questions are in Wikipedia and other places. You can even have it tell jokes. They're bad jokes, but when your living room's telling you a joke, who's going to complain that it's not a very good joke? You can ask for traffic when you get up in the morning. What's my commute going to be like? Because you tell it where work is, where home is. You can get sports scores, and there's always new stuff being added. In fact, if you're a fantasy sports fanatic, they now have some additional, you know, stuff. You can say how your players did, for instance. It's cool. But, you know, I have to remember, as a geek, I'm willing to spend money on stuff just because it's cool. I own an Apple Watch, for crying out loud. Can I recommend those to normal people? Probably not. Unless you're a geek, too, and you like the idea. You watched a few science fiction movies in your time, and you like the idea of being able to talk to your house and have it answer. I like that idea. And the people who do have it are often pretty excited about it. That's probably why you see such great reviews everywhere, even though it's kind of limited in what it can do. I hesitate to recommend it, to be honest. It's neat. And they are adding features all the time. Maybe wait until it really adds, you know, some really cool features. Because right now, they're kind of silly. Lou in San Diego, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Lou.
Hello, Leo.
Hey, ran over to the phone. Don't fall over.
You got it.
What can I do for you, Lou?
Well, I'm trying to figure out if I should upgrade to Windows 10 or not. People are still having trouble. And you said back probably in June or July that October was going to be the time when maybe they've got all the bugs out of it.
Next month is a big update. We call it Threshold 2. That's the code name. That's when Windows 10 will be finished. Actually, Microsoft says it's never going to be finished. They'll always be updating it. But I feel like it isn't quite ready for prime time. I've heard so many people with problems. I like it. I love it, in fact, because I hated Windows 8. And I loved Windows 7. And I feel like it's kind of, they've kind of brought back some of the key features of Windows 7 in such a way. It's, you know, it's back to the desktop, and I like that. So is it time to upgrade? You get a free upgrade if you have Windows 7 or Windows 8, right?
Correct.
If it's... What do you use mostly on your computer? If you use mostly Microsoft Office, the internet, all of that's going to work fine. If Microsoft invites you, that means they believe that all your hardware and software is fully compatible. So then it's safe to upgrade. If it's a machine you cannot live without, if it's your business, you know, if your livelihood, then maybe it'd be worth waiting at least till next month, till the Threshold 2 update. I love Windows 10. I really do. I think Microsoft got it right this time. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, it's Johnny Jett. Never mind. He got up really early in Tokyo, Japan. Hey, John.
How you doing?
I'm well. Oh, you look good. You sound good.
I'm good.
Where are you staying in Tokyo?
I'll show you the view, and you can try and guess.
All right. Let me look here.
The sun's just coming up.
It's what, 5 a.m.?
Yeah, the sun's just coming up.
4:30. Beautiful. Look at that. I see the Tokyo Tower there.
Yeah.
So you're in the Ritz, Carlton.
Man, you're good.
Oh, yeah. There's only one view that could be.
You're really good.
Actually, there's about 1,000 places that could have that view, but I think I remember that from your Instagram.
Okay. I think I did post it on my Instagram.
It sounds like you and Natalie have been having a blast, though.
Oh, my gosh. Our round-the-world trip is almost over, but we're going out in style. And yesterday we were in Bangkok, and, you know, had an amazing time. We were at TBEX, the Travel Bloggers Exchange, with, you know Rick Calvert, great guy.
Oh, really? He runs that? I love Rick.
He runs the TBEX.
He doesn't own it anymore, the Podcast Expo. Good for him. I think he doesn't own it anymore. I don't know.
I'm not sure. He's a great guy, though.
I love Rick, yeah.
And then last week I was in Qatar. Sorry I didn't call, but my internet was so slow and I was sick. And I was like, you know what? I just need to sleep.
Oh, Johnny, never apologize. It's fine.
Well, I try and call. I've only missed a couple. So I try and call no matter where
awesome.
I am.
You're awesome.
And what time it is.
Now,
so.
Do they say Qatar or Qatar in Qatar?
Well, they actually... I hear mixed, but usually they call the country Qatar and the airline Qatar Airways. So at least that's what I've been told by multiple people. But, you know, and I've been there multiple times. But so I say Qatar, but, you know, the locals, will, you know, they definitely call the airline Qatar Airlines. Airways.
Now I'm confused. All right. Yeah, because
I flew their new A350 by the way.
Oh, A350. Now I know the 380. What's the 350?
That's Airbus's response to like Boeing 787. It's you know, it's a beautiful plane. It's
not as big as a 380.
No. It's just like the same size as a 787.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, real nice. And we just made our flight. I mean, it was...
Your seats looked very attractive.
Yes, we actually... We got upgraded on that one, which was
nice. The one with the curved wing.
Yeah, it has a wing tip, real curved.
Curly wing tip.
If I can speak properly.
Cool. This looks cool.
And, yeah, you'd love it.
I love traveling. I was just thinking this morning, why aren't I on the road to somewhere?
Well, after two around-the-world trips, I'm ready to go home.
Yeah, I bet you're exhausted. Hey, Nathan, cue up that Johnny Cash. We got Johnny J. Oh, look at the inside of this thing. Oh, my God. That's what you had. You were in business. Business.
Yes. Looks is this guitar? Good. No, this is.
This is the A350 as can you know comes from the right. factory. Let's look at the cutter one here. There's no U in cutter.
No, it's Q A T A R.
That's pretty nicely appointed. Very nicely. Wi-Fi and GSM. Wow.
But one of the reasons why I flew Qatar Airways was because they're Oneworld, and I'm trying to get my exec platinum on American Airlines, and I only got half the mileage for this trip.
Oh, that stinks. Well, he's been everywhere, man. Johnny Jett, our travel guru, normally is on Saturday. But he was all over the place. He's been in Thailand. He'd been in Qatar. Right now, now he is in beautiful Tokyo, Japan, overlooking the city from his penthouse apartment in the beautiful Ritz-Carlton. Hello, Johnny Jett.
Hello. It's not a penthouse, but I do have an amazing view of Tokyo Tower, and the sun's just coming up here, and it's 5:33 in the morning.
Oh, man. Thank you for getting up early and joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. Are you kidding me?
You're doing an around-the-world trip with your wife, Natalie, and I understand you're having a blast.
We are. We're very fortunate to see the world and try different airlines, different foods, different countries, and try and report back all the good stuff and bad stuff.
And trying to get your executive premier first class Diamond Club status.
Executive platinum on American.
Oh.
I'm almost there.
How many more? What is that? Is that a million miles? A 100,000?
No. So every year, frequent flyers these days really want to get status so they can get upgrades or cheap upgrades.
It's not about free tickets anymore. It's about getting treated better.
Basically. I mean, free tickets really help too. But yeah. It's 100,000 miles, actual flown or points with American, and then once you get that, then you get high up on the upgrade list, special number to call, six upgrades anywhere in the system wide upgrades. Cool. It's what everyone wants, and every airline kind of has it, but American's doing a really good job right now with it.
Well, because I saw that Up in the Air movie with George Clooney, and he wanted to get the million miles, no, 10 million, I don't remember what it was, some huge number, so he'd get to meet the chief pilot and get a special card. Is that that's not a real thing, is it?
Well, you can pretty much meet the pilot any time if you ask. But
not the pilot of the plane, like the head pilot. It was Sam Elliott. It was like the
right.
And he talked like this, and I think you like to travel, son, don't you?
I'm with you. No, usually people want to make a million miles on an airline because that way they get an elite status for life.
That's what I want.
But now it's just, everyone's flying so much that they're actually going 1 million, 2 million. So they're increasing it. So the first million, you'll get, low-level elite status, then mid-tier.
This is in 1 year, right? This isn't for life. This is like 1 year you have to get a million.
No.
Oh, it's for life. Oh, that's not so bad.
No one can fly a million miles in a year.
You could, I bet. What's the most you've ever flown?
I actually don't fly that much. People think I do. I only fly about 150,000 miles a year.
Oh, you're a punter.
I have friends who fly 400, and they're out of their minds. They'll go to Asia twice in a week, and I'm like, that's ridiculous.
Pretty much at that point, the airplane is your home.
Yeah, I have no desire.
No.
So,
I need more legroom in my home.
a few round the world trips in a year, and I'm a happy camper. But
well, Johnny's at johnnyjet.com. Follow him on Instagram and Twitter. You could follow his journeys around the world, and he stays in so many fun places. But he also has a great travel newsletter there, and each week joins us with an app of the week and a website of the week to help us travel better with tech.
Yeah, so one way, you know, I'm able to travel the world is I collect frequent flyer miles. So I just discovered a new website called FlyerMiler.com, FlyerMiler.com. And so this is a really cool tool that will show you the best mileage deals between two cities. So you can put in, you know, the airport codes. You can do SFO, LHR, or San Francisco to London, and it will tell you it will rank them from the top to the bottom, which one will be the, you know, the cheapest way to get there using your miles. So it should say Alaska Airlines for like 20,000 miles one way. If you do it in the off season, and in the high season will charge you 30,000 miles, which is usually May 16th to October 14th. And let me see if that's what it's actually saying right now.
So this is interesting. This is for people like you who want to really maximize their mileage.
I mean, anyone who wants to maximize their miles, for sure. So it doesn't have to be someone who, you know, flies all the time. It could be someone who flies once a year. But it's you know, it's a helpful tool. It's free, and it's easy to use. And it's so you just need to then figure out, you know, how to get those miles. So you either need to stick to one airline. You can get their airline's credit card, or you can get a different credit card. So there's multiple ways how you can earn these miles. Actually, in Alaska miles, you can actually buy.
FlyerMiler.com. What else you got?
All right, so I got an app.
Not to be greedy or anything, but let's get back to work here. What else?
I have another website too, but I'll tell you that after this app. So this app I have is called Urban Buddy. U R B A N B U D D Y. I'm not sure
if
you
heard
of this.
Is it like a dating app or
No.
Get to meet a cowboy.
No, it's actually right now it's for people who are in Chicago or New York or traveling to them. And you download the app and you can ask any question. And within 2 minutes, a local will answer the question. So and I was like, come on. So I logged on, asked a question. I said, where can I get the best pizza on the Upper East Side?
Oh, that is a loaded question.
It is totally. And, you know,
because there's Gino's and there's Uno and it just depends who you talk to. And
well, my favorite is Don Filippo's on 78th and Lex, and they did not say that.
Much more sophisticated than I am.
So I got Jeanette B., and she responded within 2 minutes, and she said Gotham Pizza at 1443 York Avenue, which I haven't tried, but I just thought it was cool that they responded within 2 minutes. But you can ask any question. So, you know, what should I do on this, you know, rainy day in New York or Chicago, or where could I get my laundry done, or whatever you want. So I think it's pretty handy for travelers, and it's available in, you know, multiple different languages: English, Basque, Chinese, Czech, Dutch, Finnish. I mean, 20 different languages.
Wow!
And it's on iOS.
This is exactly what you'd want if you're in New York. You might sit down on a bench, and somebody sits down, and you might say, "Hey, where's the best pizza around here?" That's the kind of thing. You know, you have to take it with a grain of salt because the guy might not have good taste. But on the other hand, you're getting a local. I think that's kind of cool. Are they going to expand?
I'm sure they want to. Right now, it's just in those two different cities.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it'd be better if you say, you know, asking for directions. Or, and I actually don't need direction, but or what should I do on a rainy day? Or which museum should I visit or something like that? I think that's a little bit more valuable information. I think the pizza, which I asked, I was just testing it out.
I think Gotham's good, but maybe this other Jenny place is better. You don't know.
Go
try it.
For sure.
Johnny Jet, you want to give us one more site?
I wrote this week about different websites for best foliage. So, you know, it's leaf peeping season in the country. So there's a couple that you can go to. I actually just tweeted them. I think it's Yankee Foliage for New England. There's also the Foliage Network and Storm Faxes. So I put multiple sites in there, and it's it'll tell
you. Yankee Foliage is good because that's from Yankee Magazine. And those people,
exactly.
They know New England. I know.
They sure do.
Yankee, and Yankee knows New England. So that's cool. It is that time of year.
Rhode Island.
Yeah, so, you know. It is that time of year. They even have a button that says report foliage and add photos. So you can see like people's photos of the bed. Oh, look, there's a lot of them. Look at that. See what. Here's Washington County, Vermont. Oh, it's fading in Washington County. A little snow on the ground. Lice.
Yes, hey. You know, it snowed. I heard it snowed last night.
Yeah. Here's Bar Harbor. It's all right in Bar Harbor. Still good. Yeah. Well, this is fun. My friend Julio Ojeda Zapata, who lives in Minnesota, posted his foliage pictures. And actually, there's beautiful foliage in Minneapolis right now. So you never know where you're going to see the best foliage.
You never know. And we're thinking about going out to Mount Fuji today. Check out the foliage around here in Japan.
Oh, man, I'm jealous. I am so jealous. Well, take good notes and write about it in your blog there at johnnyjet.com so I can know when I get to Japan where to go. Great to talk to you, Johnny.
You too.
Go back to bed now. All right.
I'm going.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More tech questions right after this. Thank you, Johnny.
And sorry my Giants had to beat up your 49ers last week.
Oh, it was this close, too. It was such a good game.
That was a great game. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe the Giants blew it. And then they came back. I know.
That was so exciting. But, you know, you got Eli. He's good.
He's good. Earning his money right now.
Meanwhile, the Niners are stinking the place up here in San Francisco, so.
Are they losing right now?
No, they just scored. It's 3-0, but it's not going to hold. Kaepernick just dodged a bullet. He threw a pass, and the guy couldn't. Almost this close to
intercept. I don't know why they don't let him run. They should let the guy run.
Let him run. That's all he can do.
I mean, heck.
But your Mets won.
I'm not a Met fan. I'm a Yankee fan.
Oh, good, because I'm rooting for the Cubbies. Because they're due.
Yes.
In 100 years, I think they're due.
I'm with you, but I like that one guy from the Mets, the guy who's a hero, Daniel.
Oh, the second hair? Baseman. Oh, the second baseman.
I mean, he's unbelievable.
Not Tejada. Who's the other guy?
No, Daniel Flynn, I think it is. Flynn. The guy who keeps hitting home runs. I'm not a Met fan, so I don't know.
That's why I like October, where you get these guys playing over their heads, and all of a sudden they're just superstars, and it's really exciting.
For sure.
Really exciting.
And, yeah. But it's not on TV here.
No, I'm surprised, because I thought the Japanese love baseball.
In Doha, I was watching, or Bangkok, I was watching football.
Really? NFL?
Yeah.
Wow. So how was Bangkok? Now, Bangkok, I've heard that you don't really want to go to Bangkok. You want to go to the seashore. But was Bangkok cool?
I love Bangkok. Yeah. I mean, everything. I got a suit made. I got a custom-made suit. This is Johnny Jet. You open it up, and the inside lining is a world map. I mean, it's awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
You get it for cheap.
How much was the suit?
Well, I got the suit. It's not cheap, but it's $400, and it came with three shirts.
Three pair of pants? Three shirts?
Yeah.
For custom-made?
Custom-made. I mean, that's cheap, and it's good material.
It's really cheap.
And So, but I just love, cruising around. The food is so good. It's so cheap. You can take
Thai
a taxi.
Food.
You're in a taxi for a half hour, and it's $2.
Yeah.
So, I love it. You definitely have to visit Thailand if you haven't been.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to do Asia better. I feel like I've done Europe. I'm pretty much done Europe, except for Portugal. And you loved Portugal, I think.
For sure. Yeah. I do. I mean, this time of year, too, especially when they're harvesting and all that stuff.
The world
but
is
next
big.
Year, we should try and get you to speak at TBEX next year. And they just announced it's going to be in Manila next October. And I hope
I've never
be
been to the Philippines. I'd love to go.
I've never been to the Philippines. And I can say Kumustaka.
I will tell the story of how I turned Johnny Jet into an international superstar. Hey, have fun.
That would be awesome.
Give my love to Natalie. Great.
Take care.
See you. Bye, Johnny. Bye-bye. Love Johnny Jet. Love that man. He's got up early in the morning in Tokyo. Just for me. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask. Leo, Mark is in Los Angeles. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Leo.
Hey, Mark.
I got a question about this new iMac. I'm looking on Apple's website. It says the processor, all the processors that you can get are an Intel Core i5 processor.
Yeah.
It seems to me that you could have got an i7 like a year ago.
You still can.
Oh.
You have to, customize it, basically. So you see that it says choose. click the choose button, and then, well, let me make sure, but normally this is what happens. They rearranged their website. They took the store out, and now when you're reading about something, you look at it, what it is, and you see the i5s, yeah, but then you select, so let's select the middle one, and then you can choose memory. Oh, you're right. Looks like the middle one, I can't choose an i7. Can I choose it on the top of the line? Maybe it's these 21 inches only go up to i5. That might be the... No, if you get the top of the line...
That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, then you can go to a 3.3 gigahertz quad-core i7. It's just $200 more, so it's not horribly expensive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can add more RAM. And really, you do want to do... On these machines, it's hard to get into them. So you really kind of want to equip them the way...
Right.
You want them. You know, I think RAM is one of the things you can easily modify. But I would say get the Mac, build it the way you want it. So, yeah, you have to start with the Retina 4K 21-inch iMac. And then if you click select, you can upgrade it to an i7. Okay?
Okay, good. Thank you.
Enjoy your new Mac. I have the old 5K. I love it. I got the 27-inch. Boy, that's a nice system. I actually traded the Mac Pro, you know, that weird-looking black cylinder. Beautiful design, terrible computer. So I traded it in for the iMac, and I much prefer the iMac. Highly recommend it. Richard's on the line from Orange County. Hello, Richard.
Hey, Leo. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. What can I do for you?
Well, here's the issue. I want to play content on my computer and watch it on my TV, and so I strung an HDMI cable.
And your computer has an HDMI out?
Yes.
And your TV has HDMI in?
Yes.
All right.
And all I'm able to view on the TV screen is the wallpaper that I, image.
Nothing else, huh?
Nothing else. If I attempt to, play a movie or something, the TV screen will go black.
Oh, that sounds like copy protection to me. So HD...
On what, TV? No,
probably the computer. This is why Steve Jobs said, we will never put a Blu-ray player in a Macintosh because he said, quote, it's a bag of hurt. The copy protection on HDMI, it's called HDCP, protects the high-quality content from being played back unless every part of the chain is HDCP compliant. So your cable has to be compliant, your TV has to be compliant, your computer has to be compliant. So I'm worried that maybe it's not. So that's one possibility. There's another possibility, and that would be you'd have to go to your display settings and make sure you're mirroring your display to the external thing. If you only see your wallpaper, you don't see icons, you don't see anything else?
No, just...
Yeah, I bet you... Okay, so maybe HDCP... Because most computers do support HDCP. If they have an HDMI port, they should. But it may be that you've got... That it's go into your settings and make sure that it's not extended, which means I'm going to have a double desktop, which means... You'll see your icons on your computer, and you'll see that secondary display without the icons on your TV. What you want is mirrored.
Okay.
So make sure it's set that way. If you still get a black screen, that's the copy protection biting you. Most computers that have HDMI should support HDCP, but maybe they're just saying, well, we're not going to support the content protection. We're just going to let you play your own personal videos. But the minute you put a movie in, it says, no, don't know. Normally, what HDCP will do is downgrade it. They'll show you a very low-quality version. They won't turn it black. So my guess is if you go to display settings and you say mirror, that means everything I see on my screen I want to see on the TV. If that doesn't work, if you're on a Mac, you get an Apple TV, use AirPlay. That works. On a PC, you use Intel's wireless display or DLNA or Miracast. These are all similar technologies that will take what's on your computer and wirelessly put them up on your TV. Those usually work. David in Venice Beach, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, David.
Good afternoon. Thank you for calling. Taking my call.
Yeah, I'm glad you called, yes.
My computer does not recognize a couple of things. I'm trying to install Photoshop and Adobe Premiere. Mm-hmm. I don't have the disk, but I'm installing everything because my friend gave me the number to put in to install it. But at some point it says, please insert CD2.
which I don't have, but I got everything copied from the email he sent me. I got
This is a pirated version. Unless you bought it from your friend. So Adobe's preventing this. They're very, you know, at Adobe, most versions of Photoshop are used in pirated fashion. And after a while, Adobe finally just said, no, we don't want this to happen anymore. And they've moved away from discs entirely. So if your friend sold you his copy, he gave you his serial number, he needs to give you the discs because that's part of the copy protection. Nowadays, what Adobe wants you to do is subscribe. And frankly, for Lightroom and Photoshop, which is what I use, you said you wanted to use Premiere. That's more expensive. But if you just wanted to, for instance, use Lightroom and Photoshop, it's $10 a month. It's $120 a year. That's less than buying either one of them. And they keep it up to date. You download it. You can put it on two computers, not just one. It's worth buying. It really is worth buying, not to mention the ethical issues involved in piracy. If your friend is trying to sell you his Adobe Premiere, that's fine, but he needs to send you the discs. You need his serial number, and you probably are going to need to call Adobe and explain it all to them. That's why Adobe's moving, frankly, moving to the subscription model, the Creative Cloud model, because then they don't have to worry about it. Hey, thanks for joining me. Thank you, Nathan Staten, musical director. Thank you, Kim Schaffer, phoner. I'm Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Have a great geek week, bye-bye. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts. For this show, we talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today and Tech News Tonight. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.